Pittance Podcast is brought to you this week and every week by the Brainstorm Brewery. Hello and welcome to the Pittance Podcast. I am your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week with that other dude.
What up, what up?
Yeah, that's him. And we have a special guest today. Some of you people like him, most of you people hate him. Hi, Jason.
You didn't introduce me at all.
Yes, I did.
If you hate him, come see me. I'll smack you straight. That's what's up.
No, Jason's a good dude. I got to meet him actually like in person in Philadelphia. And for some of that time, I was sober. And we got along fairly well.
Yeah, we tag-teamed a draft.
Yeah. Not the best draft either. Not one I'm proud of.
Unwittingly tag-teamed it, from what I understand, so...
I don't know. I guess I had to piss. It just, it happens, you know. Here, finish this. I'm going home.
Anyway, like I'm carried home by my wife.
No. She can't carry me. I'm too big and she's entirely too small to even try that.
Okay.
As Jason can attest to. Yeah, better word. My wife is half my size, so.
I'm fucking pumped to have him here. We needed a bit more of an expert in certain areas tonight, so to handle some of what you guys were throwing at us on the page this week. So we brought up.
You need that just tonight.
What's that?
I wouldn't say you need that just tonight.
This is true every week.
I'm invited on as a guest, and I'm already talking shit about the cast that invited me on. I should be talking shit about other casts, shouldn't I?
We don't do a lot of I try not to have a lot of shit talking on the cast, but you know.
You're on here. Sucks? So it's Money Draft. Jesus.
Well, you know what? I should make a t-shirt that says, I survived Money Draft episode 7. I was like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Like 35 minutes into that.
What episode was that?
They were in and out every like 5 minutes. They were back with some shit like, drunk, like they would cut in and it would be, fucking slick, just wasted. Like, I don't know, just yelling about something.
So what you're saying is it would just be slick.
I mean, I guess if that's what he's like at 4 a.m, wasted, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's like most of the time.
It was crazy, but it made me question some things, so.
No, that was a good time. I was like the least drunk out of anybody for that.
That's true. So, JR, wasn't drunk enough. He wasn't fighting anyone. He wasn't wrestling anybody, anything like that on that episode, so that was good.
So Jason is from, just for those who don't know, he's part of the Brainstorm Brewery crew and he's on Money Draft.
Yeah, family. Yay.
That's right.
Yeah, he's one of our overlords, sorta.
I mean, I see it that way. I'm glad you do too.
Well, you know what? I'll give you a little bit of credit, a little bit. Not much more than that.
That's fine. I don't expect you to grovel on your own show. That'd be weird.
I wouldn't grovel on your show either though. I don't grovel.
You wouldn't come on my show.
I would come on Money Draft.
I would come all over.
I would be absolutely pointless to have on Brainstorm Brewery.
I would come all over Money Draft.
I mean,
Money Draft has not, okay, so the way I see the podcasting community, you're not a podcast until you've made it 10 episodes. So we haven't made it 10 Money Draft episodes, so we're not really looking to have guests yet until we sort of figure out what kind of podcast we want to be. So I think after episode 10, we will probably look to maybe adding a few guest hosts. So it's good that people are interested in coming in.
Yeah,
you're actually the first person that's expressed interest.
Well, you know, I've hung out with you in Slick and JR, so I mean... it'd just be like hanging out for you know, fun.
No, I mean,
anywhere.
It's good. I mean, you're, you know, some distance from Corbin. It's good for you. So.
Yeah, the quality of food you eat certainly goes up the more miles you put between yourself and Corbin Hostel, that's for sure.
Yeah, as for like Brainstorm Brewery, like the only thing I could bring to that is, yo, drafts cost $15 usually.
Usually.
If you go through box,
here's
you
my
can draft
tip,
online
you get
for like
prize
$9.
Packs. Yeah. Sometimes you can redeem prize packs for a cheaper draft next time, I've heard. Finance.
I mean, there's my financial knowledge. You can paste that on any episode of Brainstorm Brewery you want.
Here's my finance tip. Never open prize packs.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's actually a very good one. Okay, so let's move actually into the show. We have a GP and Kobe that we need to cover fast here.
Fuck yeah, modern.
Yeah, it's modern, which is not my favorite of formats, but hey, it's one of those formats. That
is it because it's constructed?
It is. No, it's not just that. I think it's very not balanced.
Now, modern's a lot of fun, man. There's a ton of playable decks, dude.
Yeah,
there's
okay, you think it's unbalanced. Does it need bans or unbans?
Unbans.
What card? You can unban one card.
Green Suns.
Me too, that's my card.
Yeah, without
a card. You are both insane.
Green Suns is legit.
I'm gonna probably Visions.
Green Suns would make Pod a little tiny bit better, and it would make 10 decks playable that aren't playable right now.
Yeah, but there's no... Short of Blue Moon, Blue Moon is the one. But short of that, there's no real control decks out there, and I would like to see more control. Whether that means unbanning Visions or unbanning Jace, either one of those, I can get behind 100%.
Maybe he's a good counter spell in the format.
Is Jace, would he be that much of a problem?
No. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't even think he would be that good. Like,
he'd be good.
He'd be good, but I don't think he'd be,
Because he's a good card, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be overpowered. Not right now, at least.
No, I think what he would do is he would give a little bit more advantage to the control decks to try and help oppress the current swath of combo decks.
American wouldn't even run, I don't even think would run four of those. It's maybe
probably not two of.
I don't think any deck would run four of. I don't know.
Blue Moon would run four of.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to like be a card unbanned. Everyone's going to need a playset of or anything like that. So.
Right. So the way the bracket broke down was Shuhei Miita 2-1 over Taka Yamada. Bo Sun under Teruya
Kukame?
Kukame wins 2-0. Ken Sawada, Yuki Akabashi wins 2-1. UC Goto 2-0 over Yuki Ichikawa.
Our boy, Yuki Ichikawa. Man, this guy's on fire, man. He's a fucking force.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm calling him for the Hall of Fame already.
Oh, yeah. He's young, but he's going to get there one of these days. He just has to put in the time.
He's insane.
Yusei Goto, 2-0 over Yuki Akabashi. Kukame 2-1 over Miita. Kukame wins the whole thing over Goto 2-1. So Ryan, what decks were these folks running?
So Kukame took this down with a burn, it looks like. Yes, 4 Goblin Guides, 4 Vexing Devil, 4 Eidolon of the Great Revel. We kind of said that would pop up in Modern and Legacy. No surprise. 3 Grim Lava Mancers. Let's see, no real lands of note, 4 Rift Bolts, 4 Lava Spikes, 4 Lightning Bolts, 4 Skullcracks, 3 Boros Charm, 3 Searing Blood, another really good fucking card in Modern, Searing Blood. It's really good in this list, and 3 Shard Volley. I like the addition of some of the new cards that this deck has got a lot.
So I've noticed he went for white. I think we might see a lot more of that because... I don't know, Josh Milliken, who's one of our writers on Brainstorm Brewery, just won a PTQ using the black version because of how good Bumpin' the Night is.
Yeah,
but it's not wear and tear.
You need that fucking wear and tear, because if they start the game with the Leyline of Sanctity, you might as well just
scoop and
them.
He's even running in his sideboard four Leylines himself.
Yeah.
This is a big deck in Japan, so... Yeah, I mean, the ley lines, I thought that was funny, because I don't think I've seen an American run ley lines in this list.
And, you know, Boros Charm it's a non-trivial reason to have white in the main.
Non-trivial. 4 damage, non-trivial.
Yeah.
Jason, the insight you're bringing to this cast is absolutely amazing.
Boros Charm is a good card. Yeah.
No, very good, but you're right, though. Usually, I don't think I've seen as many, 3 copies, that's a lot. I mean, he's really going a lot of white. You'll usually see white just for the wear and tear. Wear and tear it's why you play white, just because you get beat by ley line. You have to splash the white for wear and tear, I think. It's just a no-brainer for me.
Right. Our second place deck was Yusei Goto, and he was playing...
Fucking Affinity.
Affinity, but he added 4 and Soul Artifacts. I like that.
I like that Shrapnel Blast, too.
yeah. Shrapnel Blast is, I mean, Gallop Blast is good too. That burn package is, You can go a lot of ways with Affinity. I actually like that he's not choosing between the Ensoul version and the Burn version. He's just going to town on damage. I think the best thing about Ensoul Artifact is whenever I play Affinity, I always draw all my fucking Springleaf drums and run out of gas.
Yeah. You see that a lot, too. You see that a lot on coverage where they're just, like, staring at a Springleaf, like, doing
nothing. Like, yeah, I got a Springleaf drum in play that gave me a real good turn one, or a good turn two also. And then, like, you draw two more, and you're like, wah! You don't even play. Yeah. You sit there staring at them, like, wish I had a Ravager so I could eat these and they would do something. But, you know, Springleaf drum swinging for five, that seems pretty good to me. So
yeah, it's kind of funny. This is four colors. I mean, he's got like four Goyfs in here. He's got two Thoughtseize, plus he's got the Shrapnel Blast and the Ensoul Artifact. So the Nexuses, the Glimmer Voids, and the Mana Confluence, all 10 of his land put in work on top of the Springleaf drum.
Also, going off what Jason was saying about Ensoul Artifact, it sounds cheesy, but saw it happen, and they get the fucking turn one Ornithopter, and then turn two Ensoul Artifact, and they just win with a 5/5 flyer.
Or a turn one Vault Scourge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, my Vault Scourge is a Bane Slayer Angel? That seems pretty good.
Yeah, I've done the whole Ornithopter and Soul Artifact on just drafting, and it's absurd.
It does. I mean, it really gets cheap wins, and on top of that, like, just, you know, the threat of that Ensoul Artifact, it's, you know, attacking from so many different... It's very aggressive deck. Everyone knows that. So you got Cranial Plating, a lot of shit to deal with. It just attacks you from a lot of ways. And the Ensoul Artifact is just another thing you got to deal with. Sideboard too. What's with the Sunbeam Spellbomb? I'm not recalling seeing that one.
Yeah, well, it's good against the red deck because it gains you five life. Yeah. And it draws you a card. So like neither one of these things is inconsequential.
All the spell bombs draw you a card. So. You know, like, choosing this over Pyrite, I think that's absolutely what it's for.
I wonder if that was just a meta call, if he expected a lot of burn or something.
It seems like it.
I mean, he's got a lot of white in that board.
Yeah, he does.
You need the white to activate the Sunbeam Spellbomb, but he's also running Path, Mind Sensor, and Wear and Tear. That's a lot of white for a deck that runs... I mean, he's got 10 lands, but only six of those 10 lands have for white mana. He's got
technically. Because, you know, with the Wizard Sight's so great, there's four Darksteel Citadel under Artifacts.
Oh.
Yeah, they fucked up.
Oh, okay. I was looking at, like, 10 lands is aggressive. I guess it's Nobles and Drums and Stars.
That Aven
Citadel.
Spice, though. That Aven Mind Sensor Spice. I like that. I like that a lot.
You're not expecting that out of Affinity. That's the best part. People will play right into it because they're like, nah, there's no way I'm getting fucking Mind Censored by the Robots deck.
Yeah.
And then bang.
New card. What's the new card that hoses ETBs? The new one?
Oh, Hushwing Griff.
Hushwing. Could see that getting some love too.
Okay.
I'm mostly playing limited right now, so Hushwing Griff is a bad neck snap most of the time when I play it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Shuhei Mita.
Shuhei Mita. What is Mr. Mita on?
He's on the blue, red, white deck, you know.
This is interesting. Four Blades. Yeah. There's four Resto Angels, three Clicks, three Snapcasters, and two Elspeth Knight Errants.
Yes, which in my eyes is still the best.
That's the Elspeth that you play in Modern, right? Like, it's too good. It's too good.
Yeah, that's still the best Elspeth ever created.
No, I don't think there's been a Planeswalker that protects itself better than Elspeth Knight Errant. You know, on turn
maybe
four.
Original Garruk.
Yeah, I could see that.
You get that 3/3.
I guess that is probably the best thing to do with that Garruk, the turn you lay it. But now all the decks in Modern are just using that to untap, you know, lands that have four enchant lands on them, so you get 14 more mana.
Well,
yeah, that's a lot of fun to do in that mono green deck.
Yeah, it is.
I really like the Blade Splicer here. I don't know about you guys.
I like it. I like it. You get the incidental value with Resto Angel.
I don't think that's incidental. I think that's part of the reason he's running the Blade Splicer.
Well, yeah, I mean, Snapcaster Mage Click, I mean, all good with Angel, but so you have things like, I love this. I like this deck a lot. This looks like a lot of fun. Two Spell Snares, four Pass, four Bolts, two Cryptics. Really fucking good. Cryptics also good with Blade Splicer. More of that there. Two Electrolyze, two Mana League, two Remand, and a Helix.
Yeah, this is a very different list than what we're used to seeing. Sideboard has a Counterflux, two Sword of War and Peace, like that's the sword he chose.
Sword of War and Peace. I mean, again, I think that's a meta call this week. And Sword of War and Peace is very good.
It is. It's just not the one I'm used to seeing being played.
Well, I mean, if Burn's a big deal,
that's the one you want.
That's the one you want.
It's why I play mono, Jason, Casey. If you don't know, you probably don't know. I play mono white, Death and Taxes in Modern. I run a Sword of War and Peace in the board because of that. I got a lot of red, like just straight up red and Burn in my meta. So that's the sword I run. Plus, I run Mirren Crusader main, so.
Whee! How many cards do you have in your hand? Wait, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If it's more than two, you're dead. That's pretty good.
Mirren Crusader is actually, he's the fucking nuts right now in Modern, because everyone's playing black-green, splash something.
It seems like everybody was ready for red, and yet red still won, because he has two timely reinforcements, plus the Sword of War and Peace.
You know what's great about Mirren Crusader? Everybody thinks he has pro black and pro red because that makes sense. I've had people show me a bolt.
No.
Like, you're serious, aren't you?
I mean, this is just like locally. It's not a PTQ.
Oh, okay. Showable,
but like, yeah, everyone thinks he's pro red, pro black.
Yeah, he's a paladin.
He's like, oh, he's pro green. Yeah. Because he should be, because like, why would he be pro green? It's just because of the whole storyline just from that block. It's just that weird thing. So when you were playing that block, everyone just like, yeah, that's what's up. But you know, it's been a couple years and people forget, man.
Yeah. It is.
Even if they hesitate for one turn and then they read it later, like, oh, son of a bitch, I had the bolt. Like, it's real funny, but shit, throw a Sword of War and Peace on it. Then it's got pro white, pro red, pro green, and pro black.
Yeah, very good. I love the card against Pod. It's so good against Pod. If they don't combo out, they're done. There's just nothing they can do about it. So
I'm glad that someone's trying. So like, man, I don't want to bore your listeners who have heard all about this deck already, but are you running Hate Bears, or is it just more of like a
just straight mono
white curve out?
It's just all white.
Nice.
Yeah, no green. I'm probably eventually gonna start running green just because I think voice is really good right now in the format. You know, you get Gattateeg and shit like that, so Pride Mage is a good card. So yes. No, otherwise I'm like Leonin Arbiters, fucking Aven Mind Sensors, Flicker Wisp, Thalia, Abrimaz, Mirren Crusaders, and a Hero of Bladehold.
I was just going to ask, is Hero too high on your curve? You run like one Hero?
Yeah, just one. And I'm running the full Land Destruction package, like four Ghost Quarters and four,
Tech Edge.
Tech Edge, yeah. So
it's fine. I like Ghost Quarter a lot when you're running Leon and Arbiter.
Yeah, it's very good. And then, you know, Aven Mind Sensors just rub-ins.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, so to get back to Shohei's deck, Staticaster on the board seems spicy to me.
Yes.
Threats of Disloyalty is so good right now in Modern.
Seen a resurgence in Lingering Souls. His Staticaster is very good against it, so.
Yeah, Threads is pretty damn good right now. I just enjoy this deck because it's like kind of a control deck. I like control decks.
But it's like, it's aggressive though at the same time. This is like tempo-y. I would consider this more like tempo. I wouldn't really say this is full out, you know.
This is as control as Modern usually gets, short of blue.
Yeah, it's sort of like, everyone calls everything mid-range before, but like before there was a deck called aggro control. And nobody talks about aggro control as a deck anymore, because everyone's like, it's mid-range. But
yeah,
like, aggro control used to be like, turn one birds, turn two troll aesthetic, turn three Umezawa's Jitte equip on the troll, and then you play counter magic the rest of the game. You're like, I have a threat, it's got multiple ways to protect it, it's got equipment on it, so I'm gonna get value out of it, and I'm just going to control the board, I'm gonna bounce their shit, I'm gonna counter their spells, and my one threat's gonna get there. This isn't exactly like that, but the Resto Angel is as much to protect your stuff as it is to get stupid value out of it. And like the Elspeth makes everything a threat. Like you could get there with a Snapcaster Mage and an Elspeth. Oh, so this seems like an aggro control deck, but no one's really describing decks that way anymore. And I think this is not quite a control deck because it's so aggressive.
I've only been playing a couple years, so I've never heard that archetype before, but that's kind of like, that's like exactly how I'm trying to describe it. It's like aggro control, like a tempo base, like it's very aggro control. I think that's spot on.
Yeah, I guess I can go with that. I mean, it's not as aggro control as fairies used to be, because that was like the last real aggro control deck I'm used to.
Well, because fairies was dumb, because like
it was just
playing more threats was your control.
Yeah,
like
and you were getting flyers every fucking turn.
You weren't playing a spell called Vendilion Click to remove a card from their hand, and you weren't playing a 3/1 creature. You were doing both. So like your control stuff developed your board, and that was just stupid.
Yeah, and then you made everything hexproof, and it was like, that's not fair.
Yeah. This is a fun looking list. Anybody interested, I recommend giving this a run. I may consider doing something with this here.
So. Needs more Lightning Helix.
Yeah, see, I don't think Lightning Helix is the tits right now.
Let's run 63 cards. there's nothing I'd cut, so just run 63 cards and go up to 64. Add one more land and three more Lightning Helix.
Oh, man.
Terrible.
We need Will on the show right now. Will would be bowing to you.
That's terrible. I hate the idea of that.
Well, too bad.
Jason, there's a reason you're a finance guy.
Who's next year?
Because I told a guy who made a PT or a GP top 8 that he's not running enough Lightning Helix.
So let's see. Akabashi, he's on green red Tron.
Yeah.
So many different versions of Tron, but they're all like the exact same creature planeswalker package. It's just like, what 11 spells are you running?
Fucking
hate
it. Yeah.
So,
what 7 spells really are you running? Because everyone's running Scrying.
Right. No, I've seen blue white doesn't touch Scrying, Sylvan Scrying.
Okay, so, that's a good point. There's very little Sylvan Scrying in blue white.
Well, Tron. You said everyone is. No.
I thought you were talking all the green red decks.
No, I'm saying all the Tron decks. There's so many Tron decks. It's just what 11 spells are you running? It defines your spell package.
Where's the Thundering Titan? Am I missing some? Oh, it's in the sideboard. Never mind. Ooh, two Thragtusk in the board too.
Yeah, this is a burn. They were ready for burn, even though they all lost to burn.
I mean, from the spell bombs to the Thragtusk to the, wow. Yeah. I mean, crazy.
Defense grid.
Yeah. Why does no one, we should run, there should be more of those.
you've only got 15 spots. Like,
no, I mean, just in general, in modern, there should be more of those. That's not a bad card.
If you like Defense Grid, listeners and Angelo, I recommend checking out a brew Travis Wu put out recently, a few months back. There was a mono white control deck in modern that was a bunch of like Damping Matrix, Defense Grids, Ghostly Prisons, just a bunch of dumb shit. Really fucking funny.
Bo's son. He's on mono red, and strangely, his list isn't that great. It's the red white, but he does have a Flames of the Blood Hand that I need to talk about this.
I love Flames of the Blood Hand. Again, it's a card that people who were playing Magic like 5-6 years ago will be like, oh yeah, I remember when we were doing that. But like, no one's playing around it. No one's fucking playing around Flames of the Blood Hand right now.
What the fuck is Flames of the Blood Hand? I don't know if I've seen that in a while. Let's see.
Okay, so when they play a Thragtusk.
Yep.
You say take 8.
Yep. Let's see.
Or 9, yeah, because it deals them 4 damage and they can't gain life. So if you play it in response to like any time they were going to gain life, they don't gain that life and then they take 4 on top of it.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, that helps you, I guess. He's got 4 Helix, so I think it's going to be really good if they're cracking their spell bomb to gain 5 life, I guess.
Yeah, this is a lot more. He's more heavier on the spells than the winning deck.
Yeah, this is burn. This is at your face burn mostly.
I mean, Goblin Guide's a burn spell, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, so is Vexing Devil.
Eidolon.
Kakuma, the guy that won it was running 4 Vexing Devil and a fourth Eidolon.
I can't decide if I hate Vexing Devil in modern.
It's just a 1 mana 4 damage spell.
Yeah, I know, it's just, I don't know. I don't like Browbeats.
Well, is it any worse than running a Lava Spike?
Yeah, if your opponent doesn't give a shit about a 4-power creature.
Yeah.
Because that's not how you're going to win the damage race, then a Lava Spike's much better.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's almost like
a win more, because everyone's like, yeah, when situations where either one is good, like, well, then you're winning already, and Shock would probably be good there.
And I'm actually a bigger fan of the Hellspark Elemental over Grim Lavamancer in this deck, too.
I mean, Lavamancer's, it's just so slow. I love it in a lot of decks, but I just
3 damage haste can come out of nowhere.
And I've seen this happen actually at a PTQ. Somebody, this is like old school extended. Somebody stifled the unearth ability, not realizing that guess what? He can just do it again next turn. Because once it's stifled, he doesn't go to the exile zone.
Right, because that's part of his resolution, not part of his cost.
Yeah, it's like, why would you do that? It's like, will this work? He went up to the judge and was like, does this work? And he's like, what are you asking me? So he explained it to him, and the judge goes, yeah, that will work. You can counter the unearth ability. So he does it, and dude goes, puts the card in his graveyard. He's like, wait, judge. And he's like, well, you didn't ask me what would happen if you did counter it. Yeah. I something strange over in Japan. 5 Skullcrack effects in one deck, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, and he lost.
It's just such an incestuous metagame over there. Cause like, we can glean a little bit about this, but I think what what we're learning most is how to do well at a GP in Japan.
Oh, they love their weird life gain spells. Remember, what was it that, what's his name played the four Staff of Death, Death Magus. And then the next week in the States, everyone was like, oh my God, do we need Staff of Death Magus and our mono black sideboards? No, you don't. Knock that shit off. Run fucking Farikas gear. Like, for Christ's sakes. Angela, I remember you giving me shit about the staffs. No, you don't need, but in Japan, they love those quirky, I mean, we'll go back to the choice of that guy's spell bomb. That's just a weird, quirky choice of gaining life.
I don't know if that's uniquely Japanese though, because like years ago when it was like, original Mirrodin block, people were running Sun Droplet to win the Sun Droplet and Jinx Chokers to like grind one life or one damage a turn for the burn meta. So I don't know if that's uniquely Japanese, but I'm assuming that was tech we got from them back then anyway, and they just like never stopped liking that stuff.
Yeah. They kind of ruled the world at that era. Like, they were the best players.
Yeah.
So we were copying a lot of their decks back then. I do remember that. So Yuki.
Can I say Kukume and his pick looks like he sings for a K-pop band? I don't know. Just me. But props to him. If K-pop's your thing.
Sure. Half of them look like they do a K-pop. Never mind. So Yuki Ichikawa, he was on Splinter Twin. Do we need to talk about it? Didn't think so.
I hate my boy. I don't know why.
Because it's good, goddammit.
I fucking hate this deck.
Yamada, same deal. He's on Splinter Twin with the green. Ooh. Turmo Twin.
Let's give Deacon some credit here.
Yeah.
Great.
It's Turmo Twin.
Like, that sounds like a joke I would have made a few years ago. Cause when Tarmogoyf first came out, everyone's like, we don't give a shit. It's a dollar. And then everyone's like, he accidentally printed the best. So everything, like Pat Chapin says, Tarmogoyf is the best blue creature ever printed. And everyone's like, huh, that's pretty funny. I wonder what we could do. Hey, you got that rack deck? How about you add some green? And now it's Tarmo rack. So it's like, hey, how do you like your mono white weenie? How about you add some green? It's Tarmo white weenie. And
it's Tarmo, yeah. Tarmo dick.
Yeah. Right? Joke of the era was needs more Goyf.
And how they were literally just no, it's Tarmo Twin now.
It was Goyf literally a dollar at one point?
Yep. Pre-sale. For about 2-3 weeks until the Pro Tour, then it went insane.
I got my playset for $8.
Yeah, I think I got my original playset for right about that.
That's nuts.
I got it for next to nothing.
My buddy John Johnson actually went around to all the stores that he could find and bought out. Like, not just online. This was back when you had to get in your car to buy out stores. So he drove all around, and he had quite a few Tarmogoyfs. And he sold when they hit, like, 30.
And while we sold early.
No one anticipated 100.
Anti-shout out to MTG Card Store TCG player. Go on. Continue.
Yeah, no one did expect 100.
A very small order of mine. I hope they die.
Exactly. Just throwing that out there. So yeah, that's nuts. So I don't know. I'm a newer dude. They call this deck Tarmo. I just like calling this deck Tarmo Twin. If it's lame, it's lame.
It's lame. Ken Sawada, he's got some green blue scape shift craziness thing going on here.
I like that people are playing this deck a bunch now, man.
It's combo deck in Modern. Go figure. No real control. Remember I said that? Mm-hmm. Just saying.
I don't know. I think Scapeshift is a combo deck that rewards good play.
Yeah, okay. It's one of the tougher Valakut variants to play.
Yeah,
it is.
The version from Extended a few years ago that was running, what's that enchantment that makes all your lands the basic of
Prismatic Obits?
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot more forgiving. This is, you got to play a lot tighter and do a lot more math on this. It's a lot less forgiving.
Guys that are good at this are like guys that are really good at Malira Pod. It's just very scary.
Yeah. They've already seen it all, just jamming a million games so they don't have to think about their outs. They just kind of know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're about to move into what I think is hilarious over in GP Sydney. It was dominated by Japanese players, even though there was a GP in Kobe.
I mean, that's not that far of a flight for them, is it? So
it's close. No. It's not as close as Kobe. I thought that was hilarious. There's three, you know, Asian players not going to Kobe. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't want to play Modern.
Yeah, it was like, let's go play Limited. It's funner. I like all of these people that much more now.
I mean, if you're Tomoharu Saito, are you going to want to play Modern or are you going to want to play M15 sealed and be rewarded for being able to outdraft anybody. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just always going to go play the sealed anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we had James Zhuang.
Zhuang.
2-1 over Zhunyong Park. We had Tarmahar Saito. Hey.
Yeah, speak of the devil.
Versus Maitland Cameron.
Maitland. Pictured in the top 8 profiles. Oh, he is. He's wearing a mat.
He's got the Garrick thing going on, man.
Okay.
Maitland. I like that name.
Maitland.
Ah.
No, I don't like it now. It's an eye, bro.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. That's a Maitland.
Maitland. Yes. Yeah. I like that name. That's interesting.
You think that's a better name than Chris Sparks?
Yes. Those Aussies, they make me laugh. Cameron beats Saito 2-0. Chris Sparks, the aforementioned. Paul Jackson beats him 2-1. Matt Griffin 2-0 over Don Van Ravenswaj. I know I butchered the last name, but I don't care.
I don't know that you did.
I think that was pretty good, man. Don Von.
I think it's Van Ravenswaj.
That is a sick name. Don Von Ravenswaj.
Yeah, that is actually pretty sick.
It's Van Ravenswaj. I think the difference is like Van is Dutch and Von is... Man, I don't know. I sounded smart at the beginning of that sentence, and by the end, everyone realized I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, by the end, you became Jason Ault again.
I think you're right. She speaks a bit of German, so.
Okay, so James Zhuang, 2-0 over Cameroon. Yep. Cameron. Cameroon. Really? Maitland.
Might as well call him Mainland Cameroon.
Yeah, Mainland Cameroon.
Mainland Cameroon.
Paul Jackson, too bad we're done talking about Mr. Cameroon. Paul Jackson 2-0 over Matthew Griffin. And Paul Jackson wins this thing. Yay, limited.
Does anyone care what they drafted?
Well, I mean, honestly, it doesn't seem like we'll go to the top 5 cards. Why not? Because it's limited. Forge Devil, because me and Celso went over this last week. It's like 33% of all common creatures have one toughness.
It's, you know what's really good in this format? To derail you, the 1/4 wizard, the looter, the guy that taps for 4.
Yeah.
I don't know names because I don't play limited enough to learn names.
It's like Apprentice of something or other.
Yeah, I was like, they're making him tap for 4 mana to loot? That's terrible. Like, why should you have to pay any mana to loot? And I started playing him, I'm like, oh god, he's a 1/4 wall that draws you cards.
Yeah, he just shuts down.
There's so many X1s he just stuffs. They're like, oh, I got a 3-1. That Oresco Swift Claw or whatever, the 3-1 for 2. It's like, yeah, that's cool, I got a 1/4 wizard.
Yeah.
Yep. Covenant of
Blood. Aeronautic Inker. No, that's not Aeronautic Inker.
Covenant of Blood.
It's a wizard. Maybe a real wizard. I don't know. He's some manner of
wizard's apprentice.
Okay.
Is it really?
I believe
that's
so.
That's such a generic name.
It's a core set alt. They go with generic names.
There's no way it's Wizard's Apprentice. Apprentice Wizard was a thing.
That might be it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was an 03 from Alpha.
Yeah. Siege Worm at 3 because green-white convoke's still good. Coral Barrier, it's a 1/3 that brings a squid with it. And that 1/1 squid, again, kills 33% of all commons.
Yep.
That's just...
Tomoharu Saito drafted 2 of those in his top 8 deck.
Can't say I blame him. If you do draft blue, you want those.
Yeah, you had a pretty good deck. Yeah.
And Raise the Alarm at 1, because obviously...
Yeah,
I like my grizzly bears to be able to block 2 creatures.
Yeah, it's either that or triplicate spirits, just in general. I mean, those are the 2 best commons probably in the set for drafting. Like,
I mean, it takes out so many of the good, even like the red, like so many of the red card, it gets rid of Bloodseeker. It just kills a lot of good cards. I really like it. Everything though in the top 8 looks pretty much what we expected. Some people tried to go red white. See a lot of red. That probably was a problem for a couple of the players, Chris Sparks and Van Ravenswaj. Saito drafted a sick deck though that I don't know if you're into limited, you might want to take a look at. So
I'll give it a gander later.
Scott, cause blue is like the worst fucking color and he went like, he's just like, fuck it. I'm grabbing all the blue and he ended up with a really good deck. And he looks like he got a couple scraps from red. So
Jackson won doing what I dream of doing. And that's getting the Boonweaver Giant into Spectre Ward.
God, that is pretty nutty.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's not fair at all.
I mean, I've done that a few times. I did that in Sealed. That's the only time I pulled that off.
In Sealed? I can see that in Sealed. It'd be a lot easier in Sealed to pull that off because the draft format's fast.
Giant Sealed?
What?
What's up?
Do you play Boonweaver Giant in Sealed?
If you have a Spectre Ward and a Mark by Honor, you do. I had the Burning Vengeance also, so that was a no-brainer.
Man, I just don't like the casting cost on it. It just seems like a trap to me.
Sealed is so much slower in this format, especially than Draft is.
Like, consider Boonweaver a titan if you have Spectre Ward and Burning Vengeance to go get. Like, that's gonna, imagine putting Burning Vengeance on him. He's Pit Lord at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I realize that's dirtily, but you're white. Like, if you want the game to go long, the game's gonna go long.
And that's not even dirtily. I think that actually will kill somebody really quickly just cause, I don't know, you get a lot of clogged board states here. This is a slower format.
Mm-hmm. And like, you're not all in on the Boonweaver because like, if you draw the Ward of the Vengeance, you're just gonna play them on something. You got Orisco Swiftclaw that like, it's not too shabby to have a Spectre Ward on that guy. You know, Heliod's Pilgrim is a fine way to get some of your auras too.
Yes it is.
So, but yeah. I mean, anything on a Sungrace Pegasus.
Yeah, that card is so much better than I originally thought.
Sungrace is fucking annoying.
Yeah, it's more annoying than anything else.
Yeah,
it would actually be worse as a 2/1 in this format. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
It would be worse as a 2/1 lifelink flying. For
it being a 1/2 makes it so much better. It's
so annoying. Ugh, I just want to forge devil that fucking thing to death. Like, no,
it doesn't work.
You can't.
Oh, that's terrible. So in Washington, D.C., back here in America, they were playing Standard, Legacy, and Modern. Start with the Standard. Daniel Snow versus Christopher Calhoun. Snow wins 2-0. Pittsburgh's own Steve Rubin over Michael Finney, 2-1. Jared Betcher, 2-0 over Eric Smith. Seth Mansfield, 2-1 over Christopher Kemple. Mansfield over Betcher, 2-0. Pittsburgh's own Steve Rubin over Daniel Snow. And Pittsburgh's own Steve Rubin, 2-1 over Seth Mansfield. I'm sorry. Did I mention he's from Pittsburgh?
Oh man. Yeah, Jared Betcher and the Pokemon Hatter on a tear. He's on an absolute tear.
Yeah, it's too bad. Cause like, our buddy Ray Perez, with the amount of points he's got this season, any other year he'd be Rookie of the Year. Like, not close.
And Ray Perez doesn't wear a Pokemon hat. Just throwing that out there too.
I mean, those two things are true. So, I don't know the difference between correlation and causation. So I'm gonna say that Ray should have worn a Pokemon hat.
Probably.
Yeah, he would have done better if he did.
I mean, there's 100% chance he would have done better.
I mean, this is nothing. No big shakeup here this week in Standard. Watching Seth Mansfield, Blue White Control, was fun. So he's great to watch. I don't know if I cut you off there, Angela.
No, it's fine. I was just going to real quickly name off the decks because it hasn't been that changed. We had the Black Blue Devotion from Steve Rubin.
Yeah, and a master play. Go back and watch the finals. Game 3 was fucking insane. How he knew he knows his opponent has an Azorius Charm and he has an active Erebos, which he can attack with, right? Into an Elspeth with 3 tokens. He's at like 8 life or something. His opponent's at 11. And instead of attacking, he holds back, his opponent's at 11. He holds back. He doesn't attack into the token. Next turn, dude swings out with the tokens. He knows he's gonna get hit with Azorius Charms. So the guy Azorius Charms his dude Erebos back to the top of the library for blocking. Yeah, guy, I think he was only at like 6 life, something low. It's irrelevant, whatever. But he plays it the next turn, right? He goes to he's got one out. He's got a he attacks. Or the turn before, then he attacks with a Lifebane Zombie, gets his opponent to 8. So he knew that by getting his opponent to 8, if he drew into a Gray Merchant, he could just win the game. So he goes to 2 life off Underworld Connections, top decks the Gray Merchant, plays it. It was just a masterful last 3 plays. It was Jerry and Cedric were very good on coverage this weekend, and they were just pumped about it. It was finally like some, because it was a relatively boring tournament, and they, you know, had something to talk about. So props to, was glad to see Jerry T in the booth doing coverage this weekend at this event.
Yeah, he actually did a really good job.
A lot more than, some other
That people. Was the general consensus on Twitter. Even Eric Froelich, who has never said anything positive in his life, had very good things to say about Jerry T on coverage.
Yeah, they made the most of like what was literally, what was that, Angela? Like a 2-hour legacy match? And like,
oh, yeah. Dude, that was great.
Was it great? Are you sure?
I love that.
wasn't the worst.
No,
dude, well, the thing is, like, I don't know if it's just I Love Legacy or I Hate My Life, but I watched every minute of that. I love that match. We'll explain what happened later.
Yeah, but if it
that was fun.
That Jerry, like, I don't know how they did. I was like, if I could not stand, I don't mind Adrian Sullivan that much in the booth, or you know, how I feel about Matthias. But yeah, I was like, if this was anybody else right now, this would be a complete fail. Just 2 hours, and he just carried it. So.
Yeah, Green White Aggro 3rd, Mono Black Devotion 4th, John Walker's 5th, Red White Burn 6th, John Walker's 7th, Mono Black Devotion 8th, and we can move on to the best format in Magic. Legacy!
Have you say so.
Yeah, exactly. I say so, therefore I am right. Todd Anderson over Travato 2-1. Jadeen Klomperens 2-0 over Eric Kopechman.
Yeah, Jadeen, second place GP Chicago recently, so.
Yes.
Yeah, and like, she's on a bit of a tear. She actually was on the same team as Ray Perez.
Yeah, she's a monster, man. Have you seen her play?
Yeah.
I mean, she's local to me, so I've seen her play a lot. I've known her for, you know, several years. We were all waiting for this to happen.
Yeah, she's a fucking monster, dude. Like, watching her play is very crisp. She's very good.
Yep. Jake Mondello, Harold White. Jake Mondello wins 2-1. Chris Jordan, Paul Lynch. Paul Lynch wins 2-1. If you hate your life or you love Legacy, go back and watch Paul Lynch versus Jake Mondello. Jake Mondello wins 2-1. The thing is, he could have won it in 2 games, but he missed a Visions trigger.
Yep.
And that was enough to set him back because Lynch had 2 of them pop off instead of none of them pop off before Mondello did. Completely changed the game.
I gotta say, I like Paul Lynch's, I like this Bant Stoneblade. I don't know. You don't really see it very often. You don't see Bant that often.
Stoneblade. Yeah. He was on.
I like how they're calling Mud Metalworker in 5th place. That's funny.
Whatever. Like, they shouldn't be allowed to name decks.
Yeah, they're terrible at it.
Like, the joke is, like, you take...
They were calling it Mud all weekend, and they had it listed on coverage. When it was on coverage, it said Mud underneath his name. And then they put it...
Well, when I actually look at the list, I'll tell you whether it's Mud or not.
Hey, wait a minute. This deck's got Night Vale Spectre, and it's got Frostburn Weird. Let's call it Red Blue Black Midrange. All the other sites are calling it Mono Blue Devotion. It's Red Black Blue Midrange!
Yeah, it's 5-color Malira Pod.
5-color Malira Pod, God. Well, so I know.
Jadeen beats Todd Anderson 2-0, and Jake Mondello wins the whole thing. Yay. 2-0. That's one of Celso's buddies.
Fuck Celso.
Man.
Is he here?
No,
then fuck him!
I love Celso.
So we had they're calling it Bant Stoneblade. It was sharpless.
If you're going to say a sentence that starts out, they're calling it, and you're going to be incredulous about it, yeah, everything they call everything is wrong, so... We can save time.
This is just what? This is just shardless. No, this is a shardless agent. What
it's
were you
shardless
calling?
Bant. It's not Bant Stoneblade. People refer to this as shardless Bant.
Oh, it's got a Stoneforge Mystic package in it. Then it's Stoneblade.
I fucking hate the way they name. If it had, never mind.
If it's got
because it was like shardless bug versus shardless Bant. Like that was the thing. It was like this is why it's taking so fucking long. Well, shardless bug is what won it all. I've gone over this deck a bazillion times explaining how it works. Okay. If you ain't figured it out by now, you don't like Legacy. It's just the way it is.
I was rooting for Dredge and. You know.
Yeah. So we had Rug Delver from Jadeen again. This is Canadian Thresh. I'll correct every one of their names every week.
I mean, yeah, Canadian Threshold added a creature and it became a Delver deck.
Exactly. Yep. Well, that's just the same thing. Like, I still call Countertop Countertop. I don't call it Miracles.
It's Miracles.
No, it's not. It's Countertop, dude.
Do you have a Sensei's Divining Top in the deck?
Do you have a counterbalance?
Counterbalance
is
counterbalance. I'm a fucking countertop.
But for me, as newer players, it's always been identified as Miracles. So
you
I don't know.
Newer players have never heard the designation aggro control, so.
Yeah. So as Jason's saying, you don't know what you're talking about here, right?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, change is not always for the better.
No.
True.
No. Like, you know, I want Cephalid Breakfast back. That was a good Magic deck name, because it meant nothing.
Yeah.
That was back when people were allowed to name their own decks.
I know. No, that was great.
The last person that was allowed to name their own deck was in like 2009. A guy was playing like a five color weird control deck, but it was basically like two colors. It was basically red white, but it had a bunch of crap in it. No, it wasn't. It was Spanish Inquisition.
Oh yeah, okay, I do remember Spanish Inquisition.
Called it. He's like, because no one expects Spanish Inquisition, and someone's like, there's already a Legacy deck called that. He's like, I don't care. And then everyone's like, the sites that name decks, you know, for the public, they realize that it tells people no information other than that, you know, the guy that named the deck has seen Monty Python.
Yeah.
So they're like, you don't get to name your decks anymore, like, you idiot.
I'm confused why 14 plays is called Four Color Deathblade. What makes this different than other Deathblades?
It's got four colors.
Place, Metalworker. Let me see. Yeah. Is this actually...
Dude, this deck was a lot of fun to see.
Mud, or is this Metalworker?
Turn three, Staff of Domination, go off. Very fun.
I'd probably call this Mud.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it Metalworker. I'd call it Mud.
Doesn't, I thought Metalworker had, I don't know.
Metalworker is not a Grim Monolith deck usually. Yeah, it acts a little differently usually. Meh. Oh well. Dredge 6th, Dredge 7th. Are either one of these manaless?
I don't know. I'm looking at seventh place, and he's got four.
Okay, then neither one of them's manaless. Blue, white, red, Delver in eighth.
So you know what happens now? Everyone's like, oh, two dredge decks top eighted. We're not running enough hate. So I think that anyone trying to run a graveyard deck is just not going to be able to.
No.
I think you're going to take too much splash damage from people overcompensating for the dredge decks they weren't ready for. And I don't know. I think you should run a non-zero amount of dredge hate all the time so we don't have these cycles. But the cycles are what make Magic fun, so I guess have at it.
It's what makes Legacy work. The fact that you do have to prepare for different decks. Because if you go too much into hate, all of a sudden Maverick gets good. And it's like, what?
Okay, I'm totally cool with that.
And then, you know, then you have strange things like Dredge once in a while being good because of it. And then,
or Imperial Painter, which we haven't that right. Fell off. We talked about that a bunch a month or so ago, and where the fuck did that deck go?
Ruben Bresler sold his soul to the devil for success with that deck, and like if he doesn't go to the tournament,
it was not really inclined to offer anybody else that deal.
It was all the top eights.
It was like every week there was a Painter deck or two in the top eight.
The guy in eighth place probably had the same record as the guy in 12th.
Fair.
You know, they were separated by tiebreakers, so that's the designating the chop at top eight arbitrarily. It's kind of funny because everyone's like, well, it top eighted last week and this week it got 10th. What happened? You know, the guy that he beat round three was worse than the guy someone else beat round three.
Watch next week, because we did have two dredge decks in the top eight, like you're saying. Next week there will be no dredge, but there will be a belcher.
Look at the 12th play deck. Mono Red Sneak Attack. That's a name right there.
Yeah, that kind of showed up last week. I want to say
that. Is that Through the Breach deck?
Yes, it does. It's got four of them. Yeah.
Because Through the Breach is hilarious.
Yes, it is.
It's hilarious.
Let's see. Modern Mark Donaldson won the IQ. With Storm, yay! Ooh, Fairies in second. Okay, I got to look at this. See, two Mistbind clicks, two Snapcaster Mage, four Spell Stutter Sprites, two Vidillion clicks, three Cryptics, two Dismember, one Go for the Throat, two Mana Leak, two Shadow of Doubt, two Smother, three Spell Snare, one Tragic Slip, one Inquisition, four Thought Season, four Bitter Blossom. I like it.
That's Storm taking it down. And Fairies.
Fuck Storm. That's a Fairies deck.
Is it a Fairies deck or is it a Bitter Blossom deck?
Isn't Bitter Blossom? Well, no, I'm going to say it's Fairies because it's four Bitter Blossom, four Spell Stutter Sprite. This is important.
Yeah, I mean, that's whatever. That's a good enough advantage engine that anything more than that is just gravy, right?
Well, I mean, there still is. There's also Mistbind Click and Vidillion Click, which I'll ignore. But, I mean, that was the... even you know it. You played back then, I believe. That was the engine.
I've been playing since 96.
Yeah, that was the engine for Fairies, was Bitter Blossom Spellstutter Sprite. So without that, it's
so good.
If it has either one of them not in there, it's not Fairies. God damn.
Yeah, but we've seen this, like, recently somebody top aided with a, what they were calling, Bitter Blossom Control.
They were calling it Bitter Blossom Control.
Yeah.
I mean, Bitter Blossom is good. What if it has no fairies? What if it's just Bitter Blossom?
He was running, I just pulled up the list, four Mistbinds, Vendillions, some Spell Stutters, and a Snapcaster Mage.
That's so many fairies.
That is so many fairies. That's
and Mutavaults are fairies too.
Yeah. Let's not forget that. Yeah.
I've seen lists for, like, it was Grixis, and it was a Bitter Blossom deck with no other fairies.
This was a Guillaume Matignon, a deck he top-8ed with recently. And so it looks like it's caught on here, and someone's basically running the exact list with an extra, it looks like they just added a Snapcaster Mage.
Didn't Guillaume Matignon, like, win a PTQ in France with a deck called Don't Play This Deck?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, Bitter Blossom Troll, yeah.
Don't try this at home, please.
And somebody tried it here and looks like they did pretty good, so.
Let's see. So we had Rug Twin in third, Black Green Midrange in fourth. Black Green Midrange. Yeah, that's what I expected it to look like. Kiki Pod. Blue Red Twin, Affinity, and Jund Midrange. Let's go all the way down to 16th and Angel Pod.
Nice.
Resto Angel, Archangel Thune. So there's two angels in it, and it's Angel Pod.
I mean, sure, because it's you got the extra angel there.
Yeah,
I love Archangel Athune.
There's more angels than anything.
Doesn't help you win the game, but it sure helps you not lose it for a while.
It's just annoying. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I get into long discussions with John Celso about this. He's a fan of the Spike Feeder Angel combo, and I'm not. Don't run it in our version of Pod. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is, I don't know. It's stuff that helps you not lose, it's fine, but it's just kind of annoying. Like, how do you win? Like, the very first gain infinite life deck was actually running Test of Endurance as a win condition, and then we don't have that now, so it's just sort of like, I guess I'll try to get you for two.
Yeah. I just don't think
6 million life.
Yeah, I just don't think the deck needs it. I prefer, like, Phyrexian Metamorph, which I don't think he's running at all. I'd much rather see that in the list. That's just me.
I don't know, that Archangel Athune, though, like, can really make all your small creatures big, I guess. And that could be a way to get there. I don't know. I like win conditions. I don't like not lose conditions.
Yeah.
Fair. I can understand that. So Morrow shook up the Magic World Monday.
Boy, that was a fucking segue.
Well, you know what?
Marcel would be dick. Proud.
What? That's why he sponsors us.
Well, I mean, you two were just going to ramble about Angel until I stopped you. So I figured I'd just, you know, stop you.
I mean, yeah. What's your point?
So, yeah, this is, what a fucking long-winded article.
It's long-winded, but there's actually a lot covered in it. He says to just quickly summarize this, there's five problems. And
yeah, there's three problems. The two of them are one,
but he said, you know, there's the third set issue, which, you know, the third set sometimes is bad. Or it has like one or two really overpowered cards and the rest of it is bad. But typically it's bad.
It's like,
or they move the third set to the second set. So the second set is bad.
Yeah, but the third set's always just been a turd. And you know what? It's in standard for so much less time.
Yeah. But that's also where they've always put like the stupid strong cards.
Well, they have to. They have to bottom weight it just so, cause people aren't going to buy that set otherwise.
Yeah.
Right.
And they still don't. So you have a card like Voice of Resurgence, which is the only good card in that set, and nobody was super excited about buying it. So Voice of Resurgence, not all of it, but like a lot of its price stems from the fact that nobody else wanted booster packs of that set. Yeah. So that is a problem, and they're addressing it, and this seems like it's 100% upside. Like, I know a lot of people, oh yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, in a moment we'll get into that. The core set issue.
That's the first issue
which
there.
Which is the fact that core sets typically suck for people who've been playing it for a long time, because, you know, we've played with these cards before. The one thing I will say about core is in limited, it does reward just brass tacks, pure limited skill. There's no archetypes to really go by. It's play skill.
Can I say that I've never been a fan of core sets since I started playing, but I feel like M15, they finally got it right. I think the balance is there.
This is the best core set they've ever done. There are more good EDH cards in M15 than there were in, like, almost all of Theros block.
See, I have this experience. When I came in, M12 was the legal core set, and then I got to do M13, M14, and M15. And this is far and away, like, especially in terms of limited, just the most balanced set to me is for experience. They said the big issue was addressing for beginners and experienced players, and I feel like with M15, they actually did a good job of making everybody happy.
It's hard to bridge that gap because beginners they need something completely different. Where like M12 was good for beginners because I could walk up to anybody in M12 and go, "Hey, just draft blue," and they would do well.
Yeah. You know, like, I think they've realized something that they knew all along. Back in 97, they introduced Portal, And they did a few Portal sets, and then they realized these really don't sell, and no one gives a shit, and newer players can probably just start on the core set. So they thought, oh, the core sets are accessible enough. But, like, do newer players really need that? Can they not join in the middle of Theros block and figure out what's going on pretty quickly? Like,
exactly.
people aren't waiting for a core set. Because
no,
they don't know. When you get into Magic, the first time you find out about it, you just play with the cards that people are playing with.
Yeah,
so,
you see what's going on. Like, I was excited. Me and my girlfriend were looking for something to do, and I played Magic as a kid, and I was like, oh, check out this Avacyn Restored was the new set coming out. And you know, I just kind of bought into the myth, like, you know, this looks cool or whatever. But had it been a core set, I'd been like, oh, this is fucking...
But yeah, and casual players will just, they don't, you don't need the casual players to play, like, an accessible draft format.
No. Can you believe Ryan still plays after joining during Avacyn?
I mean, Ice
terrible.
Age was my first set.
Mine was Fallen Empires, actually.
Yeah, so, like, there were bad sets back then, too, turns out.
Yeah, there was. But I had him. So
yeah, and guerrilla tactics.
Who has Goblin Grenade? Let's not pretend him to Torak was your favorite card back then. I know it was Goblin Grenade.
No, it was. Actually, it was that in Hand of Justice.
Didn't you get Fire Blast too? Did you have Fire Blast then? Or
Fire Blast was Visions, but yeah, that was a good card.
Yeah, I did play the Fire Blast too. I ended up because of the guy I worked, or a friend of mine worked at KB Stores, and there were still beta packs there, so I ended up playing with a lot of beta as well. But whatever.
Well, ultimately though, so they identify the core set is just having
as a problem. Yeah.
All right. Next is
metagame. Standard gets boring. We all know that. I talk about it weekly.
I can fix this, WotC. Print more powerful spells. There you go. Boom. Problem
just
solved.
Creatures should be good. Creatures should be
get
good.
Get over dumb ass so creature kit. See, like, I would love to see counterspell. I would love these powerful spells. Like
counterspell.
Yes.
Oh, that's.
And I'm a newer player, Jason. And,
I don't know, man.
We don't want complex mana leak.
What if they go, oops, we fucked up, and then counterspells in Modern forever?
That'd be great.
Yeah. Print Force of Will, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that'll get rid of all these crazy combo decks.
Like, now, I think that Constructed gets solved so easily because it's very easy to figure out which core group of creatures, like, make up a shell of a deck, like, the best shell possible, and then your spells, you can just alternate a spot or two week to week based on the meta. You know, 1 week you're running four Devour Flesh, the next week you're running two and, like, two Bioblight or something. You know, but your creature core, it's just these creature cores get figured out, and then everything, it's just easy from there.
Jason, yeah. You said, Counterspell in Modern would be a huge mistake. That's what it sounded like you was saying. What? Would it be without Brainstorm?
Yeah, dude.
You like, really think so?
I think two mana counterspell would be nutty. Like, people are playing... Man, do you think that Remand is that much better than two mana counterspell because you draw the card?
No, I think Remand's terrible compared to counterspell. I honestly do. Because all you're doing is just setting them back a turn, and you've essentially done nothing but gotten the opportunity to play one more land.
Get rid of Splinter Twin and give me counterspell. I'm happy.
Okay, so there's the metagame issue, which we talked about. The storytelling issue, which, you know,
it's not an issue. This is just Mara wanting to hear himself.
No, I mean, it is. Dude, Angelo, there's people out there that really care about the story.
Listen to those fucking people. Nobody wants flavor in M15.
Anybody say, oh my, I can't, they're taking too long to tell me what happens to Elspeth. I can't wait. Like,
that's because you don't talk to those people. They exist and they write
fucking
emails.
Dude, I'm kind of one of them because, like, I've been wondering for a while, but I just don't voice it as verbally as other people do and as vehemently, but I want to know where the hell Nicol Bolas disappeared to. Like, he was all over the place, he was a big part of the storyline, and then he disappeared. It's like, where the fuck did he go?
I didn't like flavor in the core sets because ultimately they'll make a misstep. Like the slivers in M14,
That's stupid.
They're worst like, ever. Oh, well, the Vorthos nerds will complain that we had slivers on the plane of Dominaria where they never were before, so we make them functionally like slivers, but we'll make them a little bit better so they only buff your slivers. So we'll make them look different because they're not, you know, they're on Dominaria. The Vorthos nerds will be really happy that we took all their wants into consideration, and they went, these don't look like your slivers. Ah, I can put them in my sliver deck and they look different. Yeah.
Listen to our episode about M14. You will hear all those same complaints from me.
Exactly. Like, you can't fucking make these people happy. And
I don't
they,
like
they
this.
Put so it's much work into enough. They could have just printed damn slivers and, like, the same number of people would have complained. But you know what? They would have put a lot less effort into trying to appease people.
It's
a fucking core set. It doesn't matter.
People are going to complain regardless of what they
Oh, yeah.
Do. It's Magic players.
Yeah. And this,
the old adage is if you put a $100 bill in booster packs, people will complain that they folded it lengthwise.
Yeah.
No one's ever complained. This next issue is a non-issue, too. I think the space race issue. This is such bullshit. Like, they say that we have about 10 years mapped out, and let's assume we want to return to all the worlds that were popular with the majority of players. Like, I don't know, like, we just don't have that time, and that's not counting any of the new worlds we might want to visit and go back to. Like, I don't,
this, you don't think that's an issue? You don't think people were excited when they were going back to Ravnica? Or sure. Mirrodin? You don't think they were excited because they was?
I don't think that's an issue. That's like, that's good for them.
Well, I mean, they also continually do have to bring in new flavor.
They're basically saying flavor. Basically, this is what Morrow concedes here with the space issue, is that they're just giving in to a bunch of fucking complaints, like, return to Mirrodin! Return here! Like, we want to go back to Kamigawa! And they're just like, okay, basically, like, now it's an issue, because a bunch of people are riding in and saying they want to go back to such and such plane, so now we have to do it, and there's these new worlds we're trying to create, but you fuckers keep asking us to go back to Zendikar. And we can't, you know, get anywhere.
Well, they left that story hanging. I'm sorry. I want to know what the hell happened to the Eldrazi.
It's in the car. Eventually, that's the next place I think they'll be returning to.
Again. Okay. So then there's the two getting into the what changes are going to be made. There's the two block paradigm. I don't know.
Paradigm.
Yeah. Okay. Damn, that's how that's spelled. No wonder the autocorrect always fucks me up when I go with a different word.
Paradigm.
How the fuck do you spell paradigm?
Go fuck yourself. Okay, so what they're going to do is in the beginning of, because right now we're used to the, and this has been forever, each block, three sets, then we have a core set, and then there's a goofy set somewhere in there. They're scrapping that. They're now going to go, magic sets will have two, magic blocks will now have two sets. So it'll be like big set, little set, big set, little set.
It's now two blocks. It used to be like three blocks, right?
No, there's one block a year.
One block. I'm sorry. Yes. They're going from one block to two blocks.
Yeah. And there will be two sets per block. Yeah.
I mean, they've done this before.
Sort of.
What, Lorwyn Morningtide, Shadowmoor Eventide.
Yeah. So, yeah, they pulled that one off.
Yeah.
And they fit in four sets back then. Okay, so that'll start happening in 2015, okay? As of 2016, core set is done. So Magic 2016, last core set you're ever going to see.
Which will mean if M16 is good, they will have done two good ones ever.
Give us Bolt.
Why?
Just give us Bolt.
Why not just have a one mana spell that deals four damage? Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. Bolt didn't ruin M10.
It didn't, but I don't know. I just don't think it's it. It ruined it in draft because every deck was X color plus X color splash red because they picked up a Bolt.
Sure.
It really became annoying in that sense. Okay, so we have that much done. Corsets no more, blah, blah, blah. Those are gone. Okay, the way old standard worked was, you know, it was a 2-year rotation. You had two big sets and a core set in between, and, you know, for that small window, there was two core sets. It's no longer going to be that like that. It's going to be an 18-month rotation. So at the most, you're going to have six sets in the rotation at one time. Okay, now you're saying, well, Khons of Tarkir is going to be a three-set thing. Aha! The way they're going to fix that is the last set of Khons and M16 is going to be considered a block as far as they're concerned. Got that?
Yeah, and the last block, the last set in Khons is, they've already, Marrow said they designed as a standalone.
Yes.
So
this set is going to be big set, little set, big set, so they can do that. That's why the goofy draft thing is going to happen as well. Okay, so now we got all that out of the way. That's basically what the article says. Get used to it. They've done changes like this in the past. Maybe not this crazy, but they've done changes like this.
Did you mention the last change, number 5, which is beginning in 2016? Yeah, standard will be 3 blocks rather than 2.
Yeah, I do believe I covered that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So basically they're increasing the size of standard as far as the card pool goes. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't see it being too much more, though. Because, you know, instead of the core set, it's just going to be another big set. I don't know how much more they're increasing it. It's definitely going to have an effect on it as far as...
Yeah, it seems like the drafters really love this. Like,
really?
Tice was all over it. He says, as a sealed guy, drafter guy, I can't wait until the two sets and blocks start happening. More fluid drafts, more cohesive strategies, no more fucking Dragon's Maze, no more fucking Journey into Nyx garbage. I think it will be fun, and less time for sets means better reprints. I don't know how true that is, but there's also a lot of speculation that we're going to get stronger reprints now.
Because I mean, they're gonna have to.
Well, Mario flat out said that.
Yeah. Well, that's, He gets asked a pretty open-ended leading question and responds with one word. And everyone's like, yep, my preconceived notions are confirmed. So I'm not.
Well, he said, yep. So,
yeah.
You know.
He said yep to that. The way that question, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The way it looked like that. I mean, the big effect on Limited is going to be, it's going to be 2-1. That is just, you know, instead of it being 1-1-1, it's going to be 2-1 always. So that's a little different. You're not going to be able to draft the second set as long as you normally would. So that's, you know, kind of a big deal, I suppose. Standard is, you know, we went over that. It's just going to be shorter period of time. So the pros of this, guys.
There's ramifications we'll get into on that, but I want to know what you think about as far as draft and sealed goes, because it didn't sound like you agreed with what everyone else is thinking here.
Well, here's my thing. A lot of times you get a set, like, especially with the big sets. I mean, you can just look at Theros and just use that as your example, okay? Or pick any other one you want, where you get to drafting 3 packs of one set and archetypes begin to form and you really begin to play out those archetypes. And then when the second set comes out, it doesn't completely change it, but it makes it a little bit harder to do, but it doesn't completely change it. When that third set comes out, those archetypes are now gone and this is a completely different format. Well, now we're not going to have that anymore. And I liked having that completely different format. Like, I know I'm not going to get, you know, 3 chances at a Pegasus or whatever, you know, now I'm only going to get 1 pack of that. Like, you know, oh, Gary, when he was just drafting Triple Theros, Gary was one of the best cards. But with each set, it became worse and worse and worse because it became harder to do. So it's going to really become, oh, okay, it's just going to be a lot more archetype driven, which I don't necessarily care for all the time because the limited format is going to get figured out. It's not going to change as much.
Yeah, and they think that the same is gonna happen with standard. Obviously, they think that if it gets figured out, it's not gonna get stale because it'll rotate fast enough.
Right.
They're gonna put up with Sphinx's Rev for 2 years or whatever.
Right, where I'm still gonna have to deal with, you know, the exact same limited for essentially 6 months.
Yeah.
Where I can see that becoming a bit of a drag, to be real honest. Where in standard, I think what they're doing is absolutely insanely great.
Well, yeah, I know Kevin was like, as a brewer and a problem solver, this addresses all the points that I've been making about standard and that, you know, it's so boring after a while. Like, I don't know. I disagree. I think a lot of people have varied opinions on that. There's a lot of decks you can play too. Like, go to your shop.
Let me just legitimately ask you one question.
The changes for standard, I'm going to go with the guys that are thinking it's a financial thing.
Well, before we even get to the financial crap, let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
Was you ready for Sphinx's Revelation to rotate 3 months ago?
I've been over Sphinx's Rev for a long time, but...
But there you go, right there. That changes things up that much. Like, I was ready for that to rotate 3 months ago.
I'm not a control player.
Okay. Or was you ready for Packrat to rotate? Because I was.
I've tried control in recent weeks, as everyone knows, and I mean, it's not really my bag. Like, Sphinx's Revelation is a super powerful card. Like, I wish that people were more willing to, I think just, I don't want to call the community lazy, but it's like, okay.
Not lazy, but maybe like unimaginative.
Yeah. It's like Turtenwald figured out Mono Black after Pro Tour Theros when the one dude top aided with it. They made a few changes to it. And that's been the same Mono Black we've seen since.
Yeah. But what changes would you make? Is it not damn near optimal?
No, but I mean, what changes can the meta make in response to that? I think is what people are failing to see. Like, I think we have more than a rock, paper, scissors format. I think there's more decks out there. There's more viability.
Right now, it's pretty good. I mean, to be realistic, like, this has actually been a good standard season as far as many decks there are out there. But trust me, in the past, when you was sitting there for 2 years just being oppressed by Jund, like, that made me quit standard.
Yeah, Jund sucked. But look, here's the thing. They give you these archetypes. They give you the hopes of playing things. Like, they gave us all this enchantment. They were screaming at us to someone build a fucking enchantment deck. And then they go and print back the fucking nature. It's like, well, there goes anybody who was gonna try to do that in standard. Like,
yeah, it's one of those things. Standard's typically,
I don't get that.
Look, standard is typically shaken up more by what rotates out than what comes in, unless a set is overpowered or the previous set was way underpowered. And they don't do way underpowered anymore. They just really don't. I mean, I can't remember the last time. Well, actually, I can. It was called Mercadian Mass Block. Or Kamigawa block.
Kamigawa block. Yeah.
Because, but that was more a product, be honest, was that more of a product of Kamigawa being that bad, which this might be. I wouldn't disagree with that. Or was it a product of Ravnica being that good, and so, you know, when Mirrodin rotated out, which we know was way overpowered, you can't even argue that. It's like, was it just an effect of it being in a bad spot? Where almost any set,
it was a bad set.
It was.
It was a fun block format, so there's some credence to the whole, oh, you know, maybe it's just in a bad spot. But no, they released a set called Saviors of Kamigawa, and the only good card in that set was Pithing Needle. So, like, the block could
Of the lands still see bad in everybody's EDH deck, and you're an EDH player.
Yeah, but, like, we weren't thinking, oh, Azusa lost, but Seeking is going to be so good in a format that doesn't exist right now. Or are we thinking, what are you giving us this shit for? You know, like,
yeah, I actually quit during that whole 3 month period because I opened, like, I looked at the first thing and I'm like, eh, these legendary lands are kind of cool, but I don't see me running them. Oh, that Jitte's nice. Yeah, I'm not playing this.
No, we were all excited about Jitte because Kamigawa block basically gave us Umezawa's Jitte's to put on our creatures from Mirrodin block.
Yeah.
Until rotation happened, and then it gave us Umezawa's Jitte's to put on our creatures from Ravnica block.
Yeah. But that was the only thing, really. That, and it was like, oh, Kotaki's War's Wage. Hey, I might be able to beat a Mirrodin deck now. I might. For 3 months, I might be able to beat this Mirrodin deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just kept banning stuff and banning stuff from here to block, and it didn't matter.
Everything. That
well, Archbound Ravager's banned? Fine. I'll sack everything to Atog and kill them with Disciple of All. So yeah, well, joke's on you. We're banning Disciple of All, too.
Yeah.
That last time shit was banned in Standard, I didn't play then, so it sound. I think, though, from
the last time something was banned in Standard was Stoneforge Mystic and Jace.
Okay. And not to get off being a nerd here, but Founders All Day IPA. Pretty good, Jason, if you haven't tried it. Giving it a try myself this evening.
I have All Day in my fridge, I think. I have one of Founder's many IPAs in my fridge. Could be the All Day. It's good stuff, man. They know how to make a stout, and they know how to make an IPA up there.
It is better than the Goose Island Endless IPA that I just drank, so I will give it that.
I'm just such not a fan of IPAs.
Yeah, you know what? They're an acquired taste. They're very bitter.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? Like, I'm not a fan of IPAs. The other day, I actually opened an ESB, an Extra Special Bitters. And enjoyed it, like, tremendously. I was like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of bitterness. It's not just hops in your face.
Yeah, it seems like when I drink an IPA, and this is my problem with IPAs, is it leaves an aftertaste in my mouth, and I know other people get it too. I'm not crazy for thinking this, but I'm like, am I eating a grapefruit?
You can't taste the flavor of the beer anymore, but you are left with a lingering bitterness.
Yeah.
That's, get off. That rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
You might be on one with a real high alcohol content, like Lagunitas or something. I hear a lot of people, make the same kind of complaints as Angelo about them, and then they try something like a Founders, which is only like 5% alcohol. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just not, IPA's never really been my thing. I'm more of a dark beer drinker. I mean, it is what it is.
There you go.
You know, stouts. I love an Imperial stout. Like, I'll tear them up. Hey, whoa, magic. So yeah. Jason, question.
You didn't bring me on here to talk about beer. That's weird.
Sorry.
No, not really. We brought you in for your other specialty. Well, I can handle the beer side.
I'm pissed about Standard because this whole 18 months things, what does this mean?
It means you don't have to sit there and play against stupid Restoration Angel for 2 years.
Andrew, we had a listener ask a question, Andrew, on the page. So let's get your opinion on this. And this is what I want to know. What will this do to prices with sets being legal 25% shorter? I feel like just keeping up with Standard is going to be even harder card availability-wise. How do you feel about that?
What is this going to
do to prices? Because people are saying it's going to make them lower. Some are saying it's going to drive them up.
You know what? Everything everyone's saying as a rationale for why the prices will go up is totally sound logically. Everything everyone's saying as a rationale for why the prices will go down, totally sound logically. Right. I think more people leaving the game and more people joining the game has a greater effect. I think prices are just going to go up over time because the game's popular. It's never been more popular. No card game's ever been more popular. Like, poker's more popular and that's it. It's crazy, you know? Yeah. So, I think the more people getting into Magic is going to affect card availability more than this. You're not going to have the third set problem, and the third set problem affected things financially a lot more, I think.
Can I present and maybe something that maybe you haven't thought about as far as the third set goes? That third set also creates another an extra 3 month window where those first two sets are being cracked in drafts.
Yeah, sure. I mean, these sets are going to get drafted less, and the second set is going to get drafted so much less.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have
supply and demand's real. I mean, I might not be financial into this game, but I understand finances in general. Where
and there, that has a real non-trivial effect, and Moto matters a lot because Moto redemption actually affects, you know, market prices.
Yeah. Well, we had someone on the page saying that the cards rotating faster is just going to drop the value on them. He says, well, this isn't intuitive. I think investors, i.e. Jason, will put less stock in cards as they know the long-term value will not sustain. Is that true?
Now, we've already known that standard's shitty for long-term value. Like, I like stuff that I can either sell that week because it's hot, or something I think will go up, but it's not going to go up long-term based on standard anyway. Yeah. We make our long-term calls based on modern, so this is going to create more rotations, which is more opportunities to buy good modern legacy stuff from people getting out of standard. So it's just going to be more fire sales for us. So as a financier, I'm looking forward to people cycling their collections more often.
Yeah. Well, he says that the card value should go down, but then in the next breath says that by not releasing more cards and shortening the lifespan, to me, that would kind of signal that people are going to, the demand is going to drive prices up for any deck that's really competitive in that short window of time that is in standard.
I think people might brew more. Like, people aren't brewing because they're like, oh, I can just ride Restoration Angel for 2 years.
True.
I can put Sphinx's Rev in every deck I play for the rest of my goddamn life.
All I played for months and months was Junk Reanimator, Thragtusk, Resto Angel. It's all I played.
I think people are going to buy more cards. Like, this is going to make them brew more. Like, archetypes are going to change a lot more. Like, cards are going to be, especially if it's in the second set. Like, Restoration Angel, it was helped that was in the third set. If Restoration Angel had been an Innistrad, my God, that would have been an extra 6 months. It was annoying everybody. So
yeah.
I think more rotations will, it's going to refresh things more often. It's going to keep things newer. It's going to keep things less stale. When things aren't stale, people innovate more. They buy more cards. So
Well, some people want to know, is this like a cash grab? Like, is this something, like, some people were saying that this is like a gift to the retailers, like SCG, and this is a burden on the players and a gift to the stores.
When they do something for the retailer, they do stuff for the LGS. Them helping SCG is incidental.
Yeah, I don't think they give a flying fuck about SCG.
I do, though.
No, I mean, the SCG happens to be in a good spot where good things can happen for them, but they want to support the LGS, and I think that's fine. Most Magic players are casuals. You know, like, most Magic players don't have a DCI number. It's a huge majority. It's way more than you'd think. So
need to calm down a bit. Like, we have people calling this a conspiracy. That this has everything to do with the loss in the first quarter financially.
That's a ridiculous claim. I'll make that.
Community's never said anything intelligent, though.
I mean, you just got to look at the fact that they set up cons to be ready for this. So this was planned 2 years ago before they had a quarter loss. So there you go, right there. That thing, you can just ignore that completely because that is not based in facts.
I thought he kind of followed it up with a pretty good point, but.
Which is that?
That he doesn't think it's planned when you look at how the first set for this new format will be a single set grouped onto an already named block's last set.
Well, they have to make the transition somewhere. And they planned this 2 years ago. That's what Future League is.
Okay. I don't know that they planned this that long ago, necessarily.
Well, they started the creation.
Certainly didn't turn this around after the first quarter of this year.
No, they knew before then. Like, oh, we had this bad quarter in the middle of the year, you know? I mean, they can't make decisions like that this quick. They just can't.
Yeah. No, I would think that Moto being shitty and not getting better anytime soon is probably going to affect paper prices as much or more than this holds. I think there are a lot of factors that are going to make prices go up and a lot of factors are going to make prices go down. I wouldn't be surprised if it's mostly a wash or if it's so, you know, small in one direction that it's not super noticeable. I think, like, prices are going to go up because Magic cards are old enough to drink now. Like, if you have an alpha card, it's old enough to drink. So they're never making more alpha cards. The cardboard's getting degraded. They're never making more legacy staples that are on the reserve list and stuff like that. So, like, there's a shelf life to this stuff. And
what do you think?
Prices are going to go up because more people want a finite pool of cards.
Yeah, as the game definitely grows, I mean, that's going to have, but what about, like, this with current players? And then new people getting into the game, like, we had a few people thinking that this just, all this does is get money from current players rather than attracting new players.
The game attracts new players on its own. Like, it, the changes to the block structure are never going to attract new players. There's nothing they can do other than, like, keep doing what they're doing, which is advertising in weird new places at, like, gaming conventions and stuff like that. You attract new players just by word of mouth for, you know, old players wanting people to play with. You're going to get some of the casuals to play in the LGS by making more Commander product and making them want to play with other people than just their play group. Like, that's how you're going to get new players. You're not going to get new players by any sort of change to the block structure, and you're certainly not going to get new players by maintaining the status quo.
Well, changing the block structure a little bit, like they have, I think may attract some new players, because a lot of new players showed up for Innistrad. Because, you know, werewolves and, you know, people who just didn't care before, they look and like, you know, they're in their local game store, you know, buying candy or something. Because every fucking game store sells candy for some reason. And, you know, they're like, what's all these vampires and werewolves and shit? And I saw new players pick up the game from that. And the fact that they'll be able to cycle through more sets and more new storylines may actually bring in a couple new players. As many as...
had the benefit of coming, it was during the whole Twilight movie thing. And,
right. Who says they can't piggyback that again?
Yeah.
There's always something new and hot, you know, it's like, really what can we piggyback now? I mean, don't be shocked if all of a sudden next year there's a Game of Thrones type like set.
I want a Judd Apatow based set.
Or like, yeah, no, they're already doing Game of Thrones.
I can just see Russell Brand in that now.
They have given nods to Game of Thrones in recent cards. We've seen it, the Brood Keeper Dragon Lady or whatever, the Throne card or whatever. There's been some nods to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, they make nods towards things to try and bring in newer players. And with the changing of the main storyline, they might be able to do that.
Next year, it'll be like the Magic Avengers, Elspeth and the gang, like, get together.
Oh, Christ. That's going to be interesting, too. And that was something that we didn't bring up as far as under effects on Standard is the Planeswalkers. Because we're not going to have those five that we know every year is going to show up.
I mean, that's
does that
good.
Mean more Planeswalkers in these other sets?
We don't need a seventh printing of, you know, of Liliana Vess. You know, maybe that's what we don't, not what we need. We'll get them in the sets, and since they can go between planes, there's no reason we can't get old familiar ones. Like, we have seen a Johnny show up a million times and Elspeth show up a million times.
Yeah.
You know, like, the fact that they're not doing core sets hasn't really stopped them from giving us way more Jaces and Elspeth than we wanted.
Right. This is kind of what I was trying to get at here, is the fact that now that we're not going to have those guaranteed, they're going to have to put these into the main sets. This may mean less bad mythics, because they're going to have to fill those Planeswalker holes.
I mean, you have to have bad mythics.
Do you?
I don't... Yeah, I don't like the whole concept that a good card has to be mythic. I think Godsire is a good mythic.
Yeah, he was.
I don't think that, you know, the new Elspeth is a good mythic.
Master of Cruelties is one of my favorite cards, and it's a joke. Like, I don't know, but casual people love the goofy, weird mythics. So Spikes, like me and you, Angelo, would be like, that card fucking sucks, but there's a lot of weird commanders and shit out there that are mythics. It just, you can't play them in Standard, but they do funky shit.
Yeah, I hate mythics in general. Like, I think that was a mistake by Wizards.
I don't, because it gets people who just buy boosters to buy more boosters.
Yeah, it does. And that hurts the players who, like, I used to buy boosters. Like, I would buy cases of boosters, right? And I'd just crack them because, you know what? Most of the time I'd get my money back. Once mythics happened, like, there was no getting my money back.
Yeah, but if the stuff you wanted was rare instead of mythic, the price would, you know, be kept down, which would be good for Standard players, and then, you know, the price would be a little higher on the casual stuff, which would be fine. Like, if you put more Godsires at mythics and put more Elspeths at rare,
they'll never do
No, they won't, but...
When I think of a mythic, like, Planeswalker is a mythic to me. Like, when I just think of what a mythic should be, it's like, you know what? There's not a lot of these out there in the multiverse. At least that's what they tell us, even though there's so many new runs printed all the time. Like, you know, getting these should be rare. Should be very mythic to me, you know, if you're going to have mythics. Because now, you know, that's rare to me. It just, I don't know. Like, I've never been a fan of the mythic. Yeah. Me. So have we beaten this into the ground enough?
I mean... Nobody knows.
Yeah.
No, yeah, no that's really the knows. Thing. I mean, it seems like people are torn, especially like with our listeners, it's a lot of people going both ways. Like it's going to get a lot pricier. Standard's going to get cheaper. It's
from the novice who doesn't really care about finances. This is the one thing I will say that I think is true. You're going to see more spikes. Because, you know, it'll be like, this is the good deck all of a sudden because there's going to be more brewing, obviously, with all these new sets coming in, with all these new keywords and mechanics and stuff. So you're going to see spikes in cards every week because this is the one that won.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's my point of view from it, and yeah. Again, I'm not a finance guy. It's just what I think.
Don't freak out yet. I do want to know, I do have a question, another finance question real quick. Before we rotate out, is there any cards that you would recommend not, give our listeners like a pick a card not to get rid of come rotation? I know a lot of people are selling out, you know, they probably should have already sold most of the what they wanted to sell by now.
Yep. It's getting to be too late.
I'm holding on to things like Supreme Verdict and Detention.
Supreme Verdict is a great one. D-Sphere is pretty good. Abrupt Decay is a good one. Deathrite Shaman. Absolutely. I have dreams where that hits $5 at rotation because it's banned in Modern.
It'll go higher than that.
I think it'll stay higher. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that thing is only going to climb into the 20 range over the next 5 years.
It's too good in Legacy. Yeah,
it's just that good in Legacy, though. I mean, as long as Star City Games continues to support Legacy, I just never see that card going down again. That means Scavenging Ooze.
I mean, Scooze was a card that was sort of high because of its novelty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked up a bunch of them.
It's good in Maverick. So many of them. You know what? After Shaman came out.
No, it was a fine card, but it was expensive because of its relative, you know, novelty. Having to buy those counter punches and having that be the only place you can get them. When they printed so many of them, like, I don't really see Scavenging Ooze holding its value. You know, I think that's gonna, like, as soon as it's out of standard, that's really gonna tank. Well, and that seems counterintuitive to people because they think, oh, it gets played in Legacy and blah, blah, blah. So, I would dump Scooze, like, a month ago.
Actually, the more I think about
it. Okay, wait, because I got a bunch of those. The promos, I picked up on those, and now you're saying dump them.
Always dump promos, because they never hold value.
Yeah, like the promo Emrakul. What are you talking about?
Dude, you sell it, if you have a regular Emrakul, compare it to a promo Emrakul, you get $5 less.
Yeah, $5, exactly.
Well, I mean,
on a $50
like,
card, like, it's...
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, comparatively,
yeah. It's because some of those foils look shitty. It's just... I don't know. I'm not a real big fan of Scavenging Ooze because I think some of the logic that people are saying is like, oh, well, it's played out. It's not just played in standard, but its price was dictated when it was not in standard by there being no copies of it.
Yeah.
And then they printed all the copies to make it standard legal. No one has seen Scavenging Ooze in a post-standard format when there's a million copies of it out there. I really don't like Scavenging Ooze long term. It doesn't ever get played as a four of. It's just okay in EDH.
And its main role in a lot of the decks that it was in, Deathrite Shaman kind of took its place. It does the same thing.
Well, it's not doing that in Modern. Like, Modern is the one place where you really want Scavenging Ooze over Deathrite Shaman, but I just don't think it'd be a four of, and nah, I don't. Modern is making prices of cards from 5-6 years ago go up, but Modern's, I don't know. Modern's helping, it's helping standard stuff. If it's really good in Modern, it's not going to dip as much at rotation from standard into Modern.
Okay.
Scavenging Ooze is one of those cards where it seems a little counterintuitive, but I really don't like it long term.
How about, I know you're a fan of, you know, hold your lands. What about Planeswalkers? Do you dump those at rotation?
No. If I have them, I hold them.
Casuals like those.
Yeah, I mean, every Planeswalker is going to be $5 minimum. So, okay. But if you got like a $45, it really depends on the format. And Karn showing up in Modern took a lot of people by surprise because Karn tanked a little bit at rotation and then everyone's like, oh, this is actually really good.
Yeah.
You know, in Modern. And it shot back up because everyone had dumped them. So Planeswalkers are something I like to hold slash pick up at rotation. I think if you're trying to dump them at rotation, it's too late and you might as well cross your fingers and see if they go back up. Like, I think they'll all go above their rotation price slowly, but I wouldn't have an Elspeth at 40 and then watch it sink toward 15 at rotation and then go, oh boy, I can't wait till it gets back to 40. Like, I don't think you should wait that long. If you're inclined to dump it, do it quick. What's that?
I did that with Mutavolt. I was like, oh, I'll hold out on these Mutavolts. And it just tanked.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mutavolt was another card that, like, there just weren't a million of them out there. And, you know, it's not getting played in the Legacy decks. It was, to the extent that it could justify its price tag from before. There's so many Mutavolts out there, like, I don't think it can maintain its standard price. At least not in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it'll just go back to what it was before it was in standard.
You're making me sound so smart because I said like a month ago that Mutavolt's just going to tank after standard rotates.
I know.
You know what? I have a good question for you. We have this rotation coming. What Theros cards should people buy now because they're only going to go up?
Soldier of the Pantheon is like the number one card I point to.
Okay.
Like, it's just, for getting a wedge set, it's going to do so much work, and there's going to be a deck for it. People are saying Prognostic Sphinx. I wrote an article this week about why I don't like Prognostic Sphinx.
Really?
Going into rotation, yeah.
We're not going to have a Wrath.
I'm going to have to read that, man.
Prog, not going to have a 4-mana Wrath.
Yeah.
I love Prog, man. Prog Sphinx. Because
Prognostic Sphinx really reminds me of Drog Skull Reaver at the last rotation, where everyone's like, well, Drog Skull didn't really get played when we had cards from Scar's Block, but now that...
How much mana did Drog Skull cost? Wasn't it like a 7-drop or something?
Yeah, but we're talking for a control finisher. Prognostic Sphinx is in that kind of that same spot, and it's not the best comparison, but it's making me not super enthusiastic about Prognostic Sphinx, especially buying in, you know, above bulk.
Yeah, tapping it, the fact that it taps down sucks. To make a hexproof, you gotta, you know, tap it or whatever. That sucks.
Yeah, but you can ruin somebody's resources that way.
Yeah, but not if they just wanna ding you and get through for damage and kinda damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Fair enough.
I like the card. Scry 3 is nuts.
I like the card too, but I like Aetherling better, and Aetherling's a fucking dollar.
Yeah, that's sad.
Aetherling is so good, especially...
Aetherling is better than Prognostic Sphinx, and it's a dollar.
Well, and you can kill an opposing Elspeth in one swipe with an Aetherling. I'm surprised we don't see more of it with the prevalence of Elspeth right now. Aetherling's
you only need one.
Good finisher. Yeah.
Because LSV proved that you can play a blue-white control deck and have your win condition be one copy of Elspeth backed up by an Elixir of Immortality. You don't... Prognostic Sphinx is in a slot where... And plus, if you're banking on Prognostic Sphinx that is so narrow in the decks it can go in, you're banking on them not playing a better Sphinx in Khan's Tarkir or a better finisher.
Okay.
Like, so you're banking on, you know, like the control deck needing it. You're banking on there not being a better card in the next set. You're banking on a lot of stuff. So I realize that Prognostic Sphinx... It's a 5-drop. It's a decent beater.
It's just all over the Pro Tour that I've
Yeah, but that's block.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to make block stuff better by making the card pool bigger.
Touche.
Okay, I had two cards that was asked directly today. Should you buy now or wait a little bit? And I said now, but I want to make sure that I was right. Sylvan Caryatid and Courser of Kruphix.
You should have bought those when...
Yeah, Courser's never going back down.
I don't know what the Clash Pack's going to do to Courser. Packs are not selling as well as I thought they would.
You should have bought Courser when Marcel on Brainstorm Brewery told you to. That's when I did.
I actually didn't like Courser. I think because I was looking at it as an EDH player.
Well, and you were comparing it to...
It's the bad half of Oracle of it's a 2/4, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck that it's a 2/4. I was looking at it as an EDH player, and it's just okay in EDH. So I called it correctly in a way that lost people money if they didn't buy them, if they listened to me. So that's too bad. But Marcel and Corbin both like, and I think Ryan too. I think all three of those guys liked it in standard. So you were correct to listen to them if you listen to them. Courser is a card that may or may not get there because you never know what Khan's is going to do. You definitely know that I can say with a lot more authority that you're going to want Sylvan Caryatid type effects, because mana fixing is going to get even harder. I like mana confluence going forward, but at like $10, $12, $15, it's a bad buy-in. If you don't want to pay $25 later, I guess buy them now. But,
yeah, Carriage is like dirt cheap right now.
Hey, Jason, can I tell you what I paid?
It was a promo, huh? What would you pay for, your coursers?
No, of Mana Confluence.
Would you pay on Confluence?
I pre-ordered them. Angelo yells at me because I pre-order like everything.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to wait.
$70.
A piece?
No, for the playset.
Just kidding, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, honestly, if you graph its price, there will be several points where a playset's going to be above 70.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. That's
Mana Confluence? I realize it's non-mythic, but it's, we're getting a wedge set. If you don't have your playset and you can pay less than $80 a playset now, I think you'll be glad later.
Yeah.
I'm not saying buy it for finance purposes, but I'm saying as a player, if you don't have your mana confluences, don't fuck around, because I'm going to start buying them. There's going to get a point where the finance community goes, you know what? I don't think 15 is too much to pay on confluence, and we're going to scoop them all up. And then you can buy them from us for $20 or $25.
I've had to go up to two play sets now just because I'm sure, because I live in, you know, my girlfriend plays Magic too, and I'm just convinced at some point in the future, we're both going to have a play set of them in a deck, because
They have to print in Cons of Tarkir for Mana Confluence not to be amazing?
I just want to see the fetches.
Yeah, the fetches would make them bad.
Onslaught fetches. But not really, though, because we don't have shocks.
Like, wouldn't make them bad. It's a City of Brass. You play... No, yeah, like...
Well, I'm saying, you know, not...
Burning Earth and Reflecting Pool and a card that is better than Reflecting Pool. I don't know. Like, you would have to have so many good lands to tap for multicolored mana that there's no room for Mana Confluence. That's the only way you don't play it in a wedge set, is if there's just, like, too many better lands. So
pick
I think Confluence is a no-brainer. Yeah, Caryatid, I think, is a very good pickup.
What is
you're going to need mana fixing.
What
like,
is Caryatid at right now? Does anyone know offhand?
I know they're, like,
we have access to the internet,
0.3 tickets.
So.
Yes. It's how many tickets?
It's like 0.3.
30 cents?
Yeah.
It's like $8.
Why don't I play online, man?
Because have you tried to play online? That's
yeah,
why.
That's
no one who's ever played Magic online has asked that question. Yeah, period, it's like $7-$8 right now. I think
that's fair.
There will be situations where you'll have to pay more than that later, I think.
Yeah. Like, I think so. My
everybody goes up to 10 or 12, and you'll be like, well, oh no, I didn't pay 8, I paid 10. But I still think if you want your playset, buy them. Like, I don't like it as a financial pickup, but I like it as a player, don't pay more later. So there's mana fixing is going to be huge going into a wedge set. And I think Nykthos, there's two reasons why you dump your Nykthoses. One is, like, all the stuff that makes the devotion decks go, we're losing. Like, Theros Block, there's not enough cards in Theros Block to make a monocolor devotion deck. And I think we're going to get mostly wedge cards and cons, which makes them even weaker. And
I
think
they'll give us hybrid mana cards?
No.
They can't do that in a wedge set?
They can do that in a wedge set. They did it in a Shards Block. I mean, they might. Like, because it was like one black mana and then one, maybe there's like, maybe a card that's like, it's one blue mana and then a white or red. I can see that.
Yeah, I just feel like they want devotion to remain a thing.
There's another reason that I think Nykthos is bad to have right now, and that's the fact that their Commander 2013 stuff, every deck had a command tower. I'm thinking with them being monocolored for Commander 2014, I think every Commander deck's going to have a Nykthos.
Ooh, I never even thought of that. I was going to say, like, I've been doing a lot of future testing for Standard, and Mono Green is really good, and it runs the Nykthos, but that's the only deck I've come across where it seems to work. So I don't think there'll be as many decks, so you might be right there. I don't know. Like, it depends on how good that mono green deck actually turns out to be.
I think they want more of like a multicolored devotion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of good investments, should I buy 4 Brain Maggot promos? Up in November. Should I do that?
Sure.
Is this the promo? Is this the weird,
the fucking slug crawling out of you?
Made it rainier and more maggoty also.
Yeah. It's creepy as hell. I love this thing.
That is fucking gnarly. Why does the October Fanatic Xenagos look like it was drawn by, Polish tamales?
Oh.
It's Zoltan Boros, but that's like some Disney art. It looks like the Polish tamales did that. Just saying.
Yeah. This brain maggot is sick though. Like, I really like those. And Brain Maggot might be good, so pick up your coffees. Yay.
Pick up on Confluence. Confluence seems like a good pick. My worry about Courser and Caryatid is that WotC knows how prevalent they are, that there's going to be some major hate for them.
So?
There's already a bunch of hate for him.
You still need to play him.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to not play Sylvan Caryatid just because there's some hate. You're going to be like, oh, I died of the hate.
Yeah, and hate to remove a Caryatid is very, it would be very marginal anyway.
Exactly.
Like, oh, darn, you killed my bird. You know how many times I didn't give a shit when that happened?
You bolted the bird. That was the correct play. Like, congrats, you did what the deck with Burn and it does. Like, yeah, so who gives a fuck? Like, what would they have to do to make Caryatid bad? What would they have to do to make Soldier of the Pantheon not an all-star? Like, what would they have to do to make Mana Confluence bad? That's what you gotta be thinking about. Everyone thinks about their Magic Christmas Land scenarios where their pet card's gonna be good. You wanna think about stuff that is a little underpriced now and has got to get better. What would they have to do to make it not get better? You know, and what would they have to do to make it worse? Because we know that we are going to have a wedge set, so just plan for a wedge set. Don't plan for being able to port your standard deck into the new standard, because that doesn't always happen.
Right.
Cards port better than archetypes. And sometimes the archetype stays, but some of the cards that were in it before just aren't relevant. So really what I would think about is staples, stuff that's going to go in multiple decks, and stuff that's just going to be really good in the new paradigm. But I'm not testing any decks right now because
it's early. It is really early. Like we were talking about it. Somebody asked me how it's going, and I'm like, you know, I hate to give you real results right now because it's early. We don't really know until we see what Cons is going to bring. But, you know, it does give me a little baseline to say, okay, these are the archetypes that right now I should be looking to improve when Cons comes out.
But, I mean, anything could happen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, like, so here's a scenario. There's Prowess in Jeskai, right? When you play an instant or sorcery, the creature gets 1/1 till the end of the turn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Prowess.
I think it's a bad ability. But you know what? We've seen one card. We've seen five cards total from the set. Two of them are lands, right? Like, who knows if Prowess is bad? Now, what if they printed free spells? Like Phyrexian mana, that type of thing. What if it's like, if you play a Plains this turn, you can play the spell for free or something like that. All of a sudden, a card like that Angel that you have to play a spell before it, that gets better. You know, the Prowess stuff is good. So that's a scenario where everyone's like, oh, why didn't I buy the Angels when they were like 25 cents or whatever, because they're uncommon now. Like, you're going to be kicking yourself, but there's just so much stuff we can't see coming. But I wouldn't make risky bets like that based on speculation.
Yeah.
So what do we absolutely know about Cons?
Yeah,
we know it's wedge set.
Yeah.
We know what the wedges are.
Well,
we know what the wedges' ethoses are. We know that every wedge is probably going to get a card like Zergo Helmsmasher, and I bet at least one of them is playable in standard. They're all going to be sick generals. Zergo Helmsmasher looks like a retarded EDH general. Like,
yeah,
I've mentally built the deck around him already, but I think all the wedges are going to get a guy that good, and probably one of them will be standard playable. So if you're going to have stuff like that, like if someone's swinging at me with Zergo Helmsmasher, I want Soldiers of the Pantheon. I want Mana Confluence to play my own. Like, all we know about Cons is what we can base our financial decisions on now. So just buy stuff that you know you will play in every deck.
Awesome. I'm glad that I've already been grabbing. I've got like 12 copies of Soldier of the Pantheon now. So that's a card I started grabbing like when it hit around $2 a long time ago. So
$2.
I mean, the ceiling for it is probably $5. If you look at something like Champion of the Parish. Now, Champion of the Parish was a little narrower. Champion of the Parish wasn't something you'd bring in out of the sideboard. Like, Soldier of the Pantheon could be a Nyx Fleece Ram type sideboard card.
Yeah.
Even in like a control deck. We don't know. Like, I think the life gain is that relevant. And it's basically indestructibility when blocking.
Oh, we've seen it. We've already seen it. Especially since we were talking about the Asians earlier. The Asian GPs of a lot of the control decks we've seen over the last year have had Soldier come out of the board. And then we saw it here.
Better than Staff of the White Man. Magus.
Yeah, they were running.
We tested that shit too.
Yeah, the Japanese guys on Esper were the first ones running the four soldiers. I think they even had Fiend Slayer Paladins in their boards too at some point, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing, so.
No, that's solid advice. Buy stuff you absolutely know is going to be played.
Excellent.
Yep. So, Jason.
Yo.
This is the part of the show where we ramble. What have you been up to, sir?
I mean, the part.
This is where we ramble about anything.
This has all been, I've sniffed glue before we did this.
Any big news this week? Anything in the life of Jason that has gone down?
For those of you who don't know all about me because you're doing life wrong.
Exactly.
my podcast co-hosts and I started a website called brainstormbrewery.com. I don't know how you guys wouldn't know because we host this podcast on that site.
And we mention you every week.
Oh, well, that's cool. Oh, okay. Well, you mention us every week. Shit.
At the beginning of every show, you know, it says right there, this show has been brought to you by the brain this week and every week by the Brainstorm Brewery.
I thought that was just on our site.
No, that's on every single. I put that. It goes everywhere.
Nice. Yep. Cool.
That's part
okay.
of the show. I mean, that's
part of the show. You guys are aware of brainstormbrewery.com then. That's cool. Yeah, we,
check out listeners, Ginger Ale. He's our homie. He's been writing some good stuff over there. He had a recent article come out just the other day, I believe.
Yeah, the last day or two. I mean, when at the time of recording. Ah, just go read the archives. Jesus.
Yeah.
There's good stuff on there. Like, honestly, from the Brainstorm Brewery fan base, we found a lot of good finance writers that just needed someone to give them a chance. But we're not just finance. We're expanding into, we're having people from the Spike subreddit on Reddit write tournament reports for us. We have, you know, real players writing tournament reports. Ray Perez, Josh Milliken. Two of our writers just won PTQ. Sander Vanderzee, who's a finance writer of all things, just won a PTQ. And then Josh Milliken, who's sort of our deck brewing slash modern tech writer. He's a big proponent of Zoo and Modern and Legacy, so I think that's cool. He just won a PTQ as well. We got those guys writing articles. Brainstorm Brewery podcast has been going really well. If you are a fan of less professional podcasts, sort of closer to heavy meta, you might want to check out. Yeah, you might want to check out Money Draft. That's sort of an experimental podcast that we're approaching episode 10. We'll be a real podcast soon. What else is up with me? I'm just writing all the time. I still write daily on Quiet Speculation, and then I have a weekly article published behind the paywall, and I still write the 75% EDH series on Gathering Magic. If you don't know what that is, real quick, I was sort of sick of EDH decks that, you know, everyone said they're, oh, this is the optimal way to build it, and then I would just smash people in a casual play group and, you know, still lose to a competitive play group. I wanted a deck that I could play in all my different play groups. So I didn't have to make my deck that was so good that I could beat well-tuned up decks and then I would just smash my casual friends. I wanted decks that I didn't have to leave in my backpack because of the group I was playing with. So I sort of found a kind of hybrid way to build decks that they're not going to oppress your casual friends, but they're scalable enough that you can actually play them against tuned decks and not have them be terrible. So that's, it's sort of a new ethos for EDH. It's kind of catching on a little bit. So, that's every week on GatheringMagic.com. And Gathering Magic's a good site. You can read Ryan Bouchard's finance articles there. And you can catch the new Brainstorm Brewery podcast episodes on Gathering Magic. Real proud to write for that site. They got some great writers, some Hall of Famers, some real good. A lot of Vorthos stuff on Gathering Magic. It's a great site. You should check it out. Check out Quiet Speculation, Brainstorm Brewery.
I was about to say a lot of a huge variety of content on Gathering Magic. And a lot of those guys end up, you know, Wadseed pulls a lot from there, so.
Yeah, Bruce Richard actually just got promoted to writing Serious Fun.
That tells you about the quality of guys, you know, writing for Gathering Magic and stuff, so.
Yeah, it's 100% free website. They're supported by Cool Stuff Inc., which is a site that I accidentally got into. Like, honestly, we just typed boxes of Zendikar into Google, like, 4 or 5 years ago, and, like, Cool Stuff Inc. came up, and we're like, oh, if we buy all these boxes, we'll get a discount built up. And so we build up the discount, and then, like, when I got into finance, I noticed, I'm like, Cool Stuff costs a lot more than all the other sites.
Oh, no.
But with that discount, like, I was paying what I was paying at other sites, and, you know, I liked Cool Stuff, and getting free shipping on the boxes and stuff like that was good. So, like, that's not even, like, Cool Stuff's paying me to say that. That was, like, we accidentally just started ordering from there, and once we realized there was a discount, we were like, oh shit, well I guess we better order from there next time too. So
they sucked you in.
Yeah, that's how they got me. I found them by accident, and then they're like, well, first one's free. So I'm not saying order from Cool Stuff because I don't always, but they I don't know, there is that discount. I don't care.
Jason, there is somewhere you should never ever order from though.
MTG card store on TCG player. You fucks. I hope you choke on those 30 Goblin Rabble Masters. I hope you didn't sell any of them.
Never order from there. I hope those Goblin Rabble Masters got tainted with something very, very, I don't know, hepatitis or something. And
That's the only case of Ebola in the U.S., and the CDC traces it back to MTG Card Store. They're like, hey, MTG Card Store, not only do you cancel people's orders, I hear your shoddy hand-washing practices got everybody in North America exposed to Ebola, so thanks for that, too.
Why'd they cancel your order? Was there a spike on the card?
Because they're dicks.
Yeah, because Rabble Master got played at the PT. I mean, admittedly, that's why I bought them, but they were really happy to sell them for 75 cents each. They put them in an envelope, slapped tracking information on there, and went, your order will be there Monday. And then Sunday night, they're like, just kidding.
Didn't you put the order in before it was even like a big, before everyone at the Pro Tour was even mentioning the card? Or like, it was like they had no reason to assume you knew that the card was going to spike.
That's okay. I should have bought them on Wednesday and not Friday. Wednesday was when I should have bought them, so it's fine. You know, the stores just, people know. They think that they won't pay a penalty, but people know, you know. They know what shops do, stuff like that, and there was a real bit, PT Dublin, there was the first real wave of backlash. When everyone was ordering, Kastasa went way up, Nykthos went way up,
Master
Waves went way up, even stuff like, I had Night Vale Spectres on really shit logic. They were in my box of shame, right? Night Vale Spectre is just bonkers and vintage, and people were selling them to me for bulk. And I'm like, you know what? I want all these, so I'll tell people I'm paying 25 cents on Night Vale Spectre. This was back right when the set came out. Everyone's like, you're paying a quarter on this bulk rare? Sure. So I had like, you know, 75, 100 of them. Just paying a quarter.
With Desecration Demon, was it like, you know, people were selling those for like a quarter?
Yep. So I was embarrassed to have all those Night Vale Spectres because, like, gets played in vintage and is good in block isn't real good financial logic. So I wasn't telling anybody that I bought them because I was embarrassed.
And then you got rewarded.
Yeah, and then
if I wanted to buy more, all my orders would have gotten canceled. So I was perfectly happy to be the guy in TCG Player that was not canceling orders on Night Vale Spectre for $5. Sure, it went higher than that, but guess what? I paid a quarter.
It didn't stay higher than that much longer, though. So
I mean, when people got their, it was a promo too. People got their copies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a fun card. It's one of the best Spectre effects I've seen. I really liked it. So it's not a very blue ability either. And in fact, you can play it in mono blue. It's cool. Night Vale Spectre is a cool card. Deserved to go up. But people did not deserve to have their orders canceled because they paid attention. It used to be you could like wake up Monday morning and with your coffee before you go to work, look at what happened with decks over the weekend and buy a few cards, you know, that would go up the next week. Now the shit goes up on Saturday. Like you can't even wait. Yeah. And the market has gotten so efficient that you just can't wait anymore. Like my order got canceled because I bought the card Friday.
Yeah, that's a thought.
But you know what? Honestly, just buy the cards that you think are cool and you want to play with. Like, if you think Chasm Skulker's cool, go buy four of them. Don't wait for it to, you know, the day before it spikes to $10 or whatever. I should have bought them when they were good. Just
Angelo, you're a fan of the Skulker too, right?
I think it's a good card.
Didn't you pick that up as a sleeper?
Yeah, I think it's one of those cards that just... It'll see play if we get just any sort of decent control shell with a decent draw ability. I see that being a finisher.
Speaking of draw ability, we're playing lore scale Coattle already. It's a better lore scale.
Ooh, I got a finance question. Jace's Ingenuity is an uncommon.
Printed too many times.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, what's the ceiling?
Yeah.
$0.06.
I think that might be blue.
The best case scenario is I get those in bulk and they're a 12-cent pick.
Okay.
Like a year. That's the
I
best
just
case
saw thing. A lot of it over the weekend in blue white and I was like, okay, that's maybe people are running it because they want to see how it feels.
They have them already though.
Yeah. Buy 1,000 of them and maybe you can gain a penny on each
make
one.
Make a dollar. Yeah.
They might double. They might double from what they are now.
Yeah, you might make a penny.
Yeah.
If stores are charging a dollar for Jace's Ingenuity, I won't be all that surprised. And it's one of those cards that you get in draft, Chav.
Mm-hmm.
Like when M10 was being drafted, like you'd go around Gen Con and there would be like Autumn's Veils and Mana Leaks and all kind of and Lightning Bolts and shit like that just sitting on the table and people were throwing them away. So if you can get the card for free off a table, yeah, pick up all the Jace's Ingenuities you can get in draft chaff. You know, if you draft them, don't throw them away. I give my draft chaff away to kids in the store. And just leave it on the table, and I don't. That's one of the cards I pull out.
Oh, speaking of giving stuff to kids in the store, so I won a Garrick axe.
Nice.
There was a kid there. I almost gave it to him, and then
no, send me the axe.
And someone was like, no. Someone was like, dude. No, it's on Amazon right now.
Because I could care less about the cards. I'd rather have the axe.
What's that?
Almost gave it to a kid.
I was like, I'll give it to this kid because I want it as a door prize. And I was like, I'll just trade whatever door prize he gets. And, Megan looked it up on her phone real quick and was like, no, we're selling that fucker.
What's the axe worth?
So you almost did something nice?
Almost.
Almost.
Almost. Almost. A good story.
He didn't actually do something nice.
It's like that Louis C.K. story about thinking about giving his seat in first class up to a soldier and then never doing it.
Exactly. The listeners were on the edge of their seats right there for a second, but no, I did not do anything nice.
Then I went, JK, fuck you, kid.
Well, to be fair, it's not like I gave him the impression I was going to give it to him. It just didn't cross my mind. I was like, yeah, I might give it to that kid, see what he wins.
The last real paper event that I went to, I won two door prizes, walked up to the owner of the place and was like, which kid is the newest player you have here who did the worst? And he's like, this kid. I was like, here, give these to him.
Yeah, that's nicer than anything I'd do.
I mean, you gotta retain new players.
I'm vicious at F&M. Those are prize packs. Fuck you. Keeping them.
Yeah, but these are door prizes. I think it was like a deck box and sleeves. Now, as a limited player, I can always use sleeves. But I still was just like, here, just give them to that kid.
Speaking of Magic, have you done any this week?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grinded a little bit of, did a little bit of future testing or whatever, you know.
Did this week start, in your estimation?
Did this week start?
Yeah, like when?
Recorded last week.
Yeah, last Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
You know what? The new update for V4 actually made it flow a little better for me. Still not good. But I don't have to shut off now in between every single round and log back in. Like, I can go like two before I have to do that now. God, I hate that update. Saturday, I had the Saturday from hell. That was terrible. Like, I found out that, you know, I have a future possible incarceration coming. That's great.
What did you do this time?
Tax evasion or some shit.
You don't even know. evaded reading the notice they sent me.
No. I did avoid reading a lot of notices that they sent me, but the thing was, like, I've paid this tax and I know I paid it, but I paid it with a money order and I no longer have that stub to prove that I paid it. And these people were like, well, you're going to have to pay it again. I was like, fuck you. I ain't paying a tax twice. So, you know, a few years have gone by and I've argued with these people and told them I paid this. Fuck you. And Saturday, a certified letter shows up at my door basically saying, you're going to pay us by the 9th or we're going to put you in jail. And I'm like, okay, now I got to figure out how to come up with this money in like the next 2 weeks or I'm going to jail. So, you know.
That's insane.
Yeah, it happens to me. Then like I get home. After that all happens, you know, like I deal with shit around here and then I'm driving down the road. Some dude on a bike, is going down the road. He gets hit. He goes airborne. He travels a whole city block between the airborne part and the,
sliding and rolling.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. There was literally like, you could see his brain and he was somewhat conscious and then he died. And you know, I got to see that. Like, yeah. He's dead.
That's a great life experience.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, he's dead. Okay, another dead body. All right. So, like, it was just a really weird Saturday. Like, nothing that I went to do, like, went right. And like, today, I go to work, and I lost 11 pounds of water weight at work today.
That's a hot day.
Dude, I was out spraying chemicals, and so I had rubber pants on.
It's humid as fuck up there right now.
Rubber gloves, a gas mask, rubber boots. And I'm out and you're constantly moving when you're spreading these chemicals and just dripping off of me it was fucking disgusting. I got home. I was like, I got to step on the scale and just check. So I stepped on the scale. I was like, I lost 11 pounds of water weight today. God damn.
Keep that weight off if you just never drink water again.
Yeah, I will, but I'll still be fat.
All right. It comes back pretty quick.
No, just don't drink. Just don't get any liquid. You'll be fine.
You'll die.
Yeah, but you'll die a skinny.
I guess.
Kind of.
Live hard and leave behind a good looking corpse.
That's true. That's what they say.
Yeah, not with your brain hanging out of it, preferably.
Was he wearing a helmet?
No helmet laws in PA.
We were going to St. Louis.
Well, that's right, because that dipshit Ben Roethlisberger is like, I get paid $25 million a year, YOLO. That's right.
Yeah, you know what? It was funny, too, because I was talking to my wife about it, and I'm just like, you know, there's every reason right there just to not wear a helmet, right? His brain's hanging out. Makes perfectly good fucking sense to me. What have you been up to, Ryan?
Well, I was going to say on the highway once, we were going to St. Louis, and some jackass in the front of all his friends on, they were like, you know, a bunch of crotch rockets. Does a wheelie, falls, takes out a bunch of riders behind him, run over by a semi truck.
What?
Goddamn.
Right in the lane next to us, bro.
Goddamn.
Fucked up. I mean, I obviously didn't see the aftermath or anything. We were speeding by.
No, you gotta stop when that shit happens, man. You have to, like, that's something that, you know, you only get to
poke a few
dead bodies in your life, you know what I mean? Like, he's dead.
And we were on the interstate, there was, I'm sure people behind stopped and shit, and obviously the truck did, but like, yeah, crazy. But yeah, I haven't been up to anything too much. I gave up on Rabble Red.
Aww.
It can't beat Mono Blue. So too many fucking Golgari charms. I mean, the Jun lists are like packing two of them now, and, you know, Drown in Sorrow is obviously a thing now, so.
Yeah, people are ready for your punk ass.
I mean, I just think, and Golgari charms is super versatile. It's a really hard, and I don't know, it took people a while to figure that out, I think, but. Yeah, it's just a blowout against the deck. And Mono Blue, like, you could have Mono Blue dead, you think, and then they just drop two dudes in a master of waves, and it's pretty much a good game. It's, you know, so. Yeah,
that is the one thing I will say about the new blue is, as far as the old blue goes, is it is still, you know what, they're dead when they're at zero. They're not dead when they're at two.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got to get them to zero because they can come back real fast.
Yeah, I mean, all it takes is a master, and there's obviously nothing in the deck that deals with it. So outside, no. The only trick you could pull, and this is a stupid trick, you would never do this, is bring in a Skullcrack, and then, cause the damage can't be prevented. And then if it were to block one of your dudes, you can kill it that way. But.
Yep. I love killing creatures with protection and shit with a Skullcrack.
It's just, I mean, but are you really going to side in Skullcrack in that matchup just for the off chance you might be able to kill a master that way? Or are you just.
You don't know me.
You know what? I can remember. I can honestly remember. And Jason, give me a hand with the name of the card, because it was an enchantment during the Lorwyn block that you could not gain life and damage couldn't be prevented.
Spiteful Visions.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. The card like that used to get brought in all the time because of Burrington Forge Tender.
That might explain why. What's his name? French guy. Gay. No. Levy. No. Levy. Oh, okay. Levy ran Rabble Master Red at the Pro Tour. That whole team did. Jeremy Dazzani and those guys. Jeremy got ninth, and I don't know how Levy finished, but he did mention in an article that like. He felt compelled to bring it in that matchup, in the Mono Blue matchup, just for that awkward moment. You may get a kill a master of waves, but I don't know.
It's relevant. I mean,
I'm not going to say his logic's wrong. It's fucking Raph Levy, but I don't know. I'm not going to bring it in. Like, it just seems weird.
The card is Everlasting Torment, by the way.
That's it.
So Spiteful Visions looks kind of like Everlasting Torment.
Yeah, they looked like almost exactly the same. I remember there's
players
two cards.
Can't gain life, damage can't be prevented, and all damage is dealt as though its source had wither.
Yes.
So you could wither their creatures. Wither them away. So that's quite good. Stuffs that Forge Tender, stuffs those Kitchen Finks, and, you know, shrinks their dudes.
It wasn't great against K-Finks because he was taking away, no, I'm thinking of the wrong effect. Cause they get +1/+1 counters, right?
Persist. Persist gave -1/-1.
-1/-1. Okay. It wasn't the +1/+1. Yeah. All right. So, shout outs, Jason. Thank you for coming on.
I did want to say that I've moved on, playing green white aggro. So I think I'm going to end this standard season with that probably.
Sounds great. I'm going to move to shout outs then. Jason, shout out to you for coming
on. Hang
on,
before you do shout outs.
No.
I want to talk about what I'm playing.
I want to wrap this up.
All right, go ahead. I mean, it is your show.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Jason for coming on. Literally last minute, like, I got a hold of him 5 minutes before he started recording.
Yeah, that's good looking out, homie. That's what's up.
Yeah. Shout out to, I always have these names written down. Chris Thomas, he's currently listening during his commute. Brad Drack, I met him on Twitter this week. He's actually a pretty good dude. Scotty's birthday is today. Cool. Shout out to Travis because Corey said so. And, shout out to Tangent for all of a sudden showing back up, which means he'll be on the show one of these days soon.
No. Fuck Tangent for all of a sudden just showing up to give me shit.
You know what? He showed up before that. He's been on Twitter recently.
I'm just fucking, you know, Tangent's the dude. We fuck with each other like that. So.
Yeah. But you know, he'll be back on the show soon because he's back in magic. So that's cool.
Yay.
You got any shout outs, Rye?
Shout out Michael Parrish for the posse. He took down a TCG Silver the other day. Yeah, he's back. He had some life things, so I wanted to give a shout out to him. If you want to check his deck list out, it's It's different as far as Green White goes. I mean, Spirit of the Labyrinth, Maine, that's different. For Brimaz, he's all out there. You don't see that. And just some different cards. So check it out. Give his brew a chance. He obviously, you know, killed with it at the event. So. Looks like a lot of fun. I'm kind of taking some advice and may try hollering at him, and we're, you know, kind of tweaking something as a team here. Shout out Sid Meister, of course, always, love you, buddy. You know why. Shout out Walter. Love you too. Shout out, Russ the Posse, cause you guys are the shit. That's all I can say. And, yeah, I mean, shout out, I guess, to Watsy for, you know, just their nonstop rapid fire changes. I'm being sarcastic here. I think they're just fucking one day after another. It's just like this massive fucking, it's like, I don't know. They can't just be subtle with anything. It's just like, they gotta go huge with everything. I don't understand. So yeah. shout out to everyone, also who had
everyone.
No, shout out to everyone who helped with this episode tonight. Like, as far as like thoughts on the Rosewater article and stuff, gave us some fuel to talk to Jason. So
did it, cause I read none of them. All well, those thoughts were already in my head. That's why I was like, don't talk about this on the site.
That's no way to treat the posse.
No, it's not. But
yeah, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Well, I stayed away from that thread just because, like, I wanted to keep my thoughts, my own thoughts. That's all.
Yeah, but I mean, when they got to asking financial stuff, I was like, that's why it was earlier.
Yeah,
was like,
my brain was already into that. I'm like, what's it going to do to financials? Like,
yeah,
this is going to be one of my big cons. And like, then Jason jumped on and was like,
yeah, it's like, we're not equipped to handle this episode. So yeah, so it's definite shout out to Jason for coming on here. So I'm going to get a bunch of you suck Jason's dick comments or whatever, but I'm a big fan, so fuck the haters.
You always get comments? Is that a thing that's happened in the past?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I get shit all the time, man.
He washes everybody's balls when they're on the show.
No, that's not true. We're recording now, so there's people I can't say. Like, you know, there's been guests, whatever, but I've always been a huge fan of Jason. All dude, he's the most talent over at Brainstorm Brewery.
Ooh, Marcel, shots fired.
I'm just fucking, I love brother Marcel. I don't know. Yeah, I know you gave me some shit the other night, Jason, for my, I tried to cook some food. Yeah, Irish chefs, we can't do, I will get past the potato one day, Jason. I will get past the potato. It's a work in progress.
Right? I've tried everything. I've tried boiling everything. I've tried putting it all in the pie. Nothing's working.
Yeah, I'll get there. I just, Marcel's got the skills I'm trying to emulate, so. Yeah, that's what's up, so.
Yeah, if you go to a GP where everyone's staying in a house and Marcel and his brother are there, and you don't at least come by the house, like, you're fucking up at life. They're the best catering crew in the history of Magic, I guess. Oh, I don't know.
It probably smells good for reasons more than the food there, wherever Marcel's at.
I think wherever Marcel's at, everyone in the house is really hungry.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, Angelo, how can people fucking reach you, man?
What, you don't think Jason has any shout-outs? That was mean of you. You just
don't. I don't even shout-out people on my own podcast.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to at least ask him.
See, I knew that about him, but yeah, you can have
give a shout-out, Jason. Shout do it out? Here. First time ever,
oh,
right here.
Man, to me for being on your podcast.
Yay, good shout-out.
Three of us shouted me out.
Say anything to Slick Jagger, JR, any of those fuckers over at Money Drought.
We gotta record this week, you douchebags. Let's get on it.
Okay, if you wanted to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at Gonksuo on Twitter. That's GANKSUOU. Same thing on, MTGO. If you wanted to join the clan, you can, you know, jump on there. Ask me. I'll put you in.
Yeah, get in on that future standard testing, guys. I mean.
Yeah, when Con starts coming out, like, there's going to be a lot more discussion. So you're going to want to probably jump in then. And, you know, next week they're going to start giving us spoilers, so, it's going to get real here, real soon.
You guys applied to get an exclusive spoiler for the podcast?
No.
Ah, you should do it. They'll give you a comment or something. It'll be great.
I don't think we'd get that.
You never know until you ask, man.
That's true. That is true. Maybe I'll ask, you know, in the future. You can also get a hold of me at pedantpodcast@gmail.com. If you have something a little more long form that you would like to say to me, Ryan, how would people get a hold of you?
At Bro the Yan on Twitter, Brother Ryan, hit me up. Obviously the Facebook page.
Okay. Jason, how would people get a hold of you? This is also where you plug stuff.
I write for GatheringMagic.com. I'm findable through there. I write for QuietSpeculation.com. I'm findable through there. Jason E. All at MTG on Reddit. AltJason17 at Gmail if you want to send me dick pics or finance questions, I guess. Jason E. All at on Twitter. if they're in the pit and posse, the dick pics probably won't be that many megabytes, so it won't be no big deal.
I was just thinking, there goes, I was like, you know what, I'm going to send him a picture of some tits. Forget about it.
Oh, no, not tits. I wanted scrotums. I didn't even know I did the stereotypically gay voice. Like.
It's fallback.
Can't straight dudes like dick pics, too?
You know what? This will probably be counterintuitive, but you know what the number one search is for porn?
What?
Big dicks. It's not big tits. It's not big this. It's not big. It's people want to see girls getting ripped the fuck apart. To be honest, God, truth.
Not all that, but
dude, it's the number one.
I just think a lot of people just want to know if girls like it or not. So they're like, let's see.
No, they don't like it.
She's wincing. Aha.
Yeah. They either really like it, like size queens, or they don't care either one way or the other.
I mean, or, dude, nobody wants 17 inches rammed in there. I'm just telling you that right now.
Because nobody's getting that.
No one 17 inches. So
no one has 17 inches?
No.
Is that what you just said?
Yes.
Okay, I will send you some links.
It's fake. The Jonah Falcon, I believe his name is, he should be in porn with a name like that as the world's largest penis. He's been interviewed. He's been on like 60 Minutes. The Daily Show even had him on once. And
he's white, so take that, stereotypes.
Yeah, his dick's like 13 inches, I think he said, or something, and as thick as a wrist. Something crazy.
So Johnny Holmes wasn't real. Mo Bigsley wasn't real.
No, John Holmes was not 13.5 inches, but, you know, why are we having this? That's fucking weird. That was a crazy conversation. We were on contact info.
So. We derailed your podcast so fucking hard.
This podcast gets derailed really easily a lot of
times.
Send
your dick pic to Jason All. What was it again?
I'm not going to repeat it.
Yeah, you hit rewind.
So, this you're is your car right now you driving your it. Shitty job. You're not going to remember my email address.
Yeah, that's true.
You have the technology. You can find it. Now, last week, I actually, you know about derailed? Last week, I had to take out 11 minutes of football talk. Just randomly.
Were you talking about the Eagles? Nobody wants to hear that.
Why would I talk about the Eagles?
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Oh, that's right. You're from Pittsburgh. God damn it.
No, it was about something completely different. After the show, we can get into it.
Oh, no. He's a Steelers fan.
He doesn't watch the NFL anymore.
I'm from Michigan, so I don't have a favorite football team. What am I going to do? Root for the Lions?
Yeah.
They don't go 0-14 this year.
Hey guys, next week we have con spoilers, so that's cool, but there is no GPs. We also have SCG New Jersey. But until next week, guys.
Apparently we have a new sign off. Fuck yeah, Scandinavia, but just for Corey, I don't know, I'm really stoned right now. It's like cards to tap, ass to slap. We'll figure it out next week.
You got cards to tap and asses to slap? I bet that's lame, man.
Yeah, something like that.
That's pretty cool.
Have a good one, guys. Go fuck yourself.